But Santorum had a double-digit lead here in Ohio. Now CNN's poll, one of five over the last 2 days of the show. It's all tied up here in Ohio. But Romney also needs to do well in the South. He needs to do well in Tennessee and a few other states to show that he can win in that region. And if he does all this, he puts some daylight between himself and the other candidates.
Santorum and Romney both spent a lot of time in Ohio leading up to Super Tuesday. Santorum told a crowd in Westerville he's tired of President Obama making excuses for the problems in the country.
I am not going to blame. I am not going to put the blame. I run. If you run for the job of president, man up, take the responsibility, and quit blaming everybody else.
Newt Gingrich is the favorite in his home state of Georgia, which has the most delegates at stake. More advertisers are pulling out of Rush Limbaugh's radio show. AOL and 11 other companies announced plans to remove ads after Limbaugh apologized for calling a law student a slut and a prostitute. The NFL says as many as 27 players may have been involved in the New Orleans Saints bounty program, led by former defensive coordinator Greg Williams. Coy Wire, who played for Williams in Buffalo in 2002, says the reward system is dangerous and unacceptable.
There's nothing wrong with playing this game aggressively. Hit people. Hit them hard. Legally. Just don't condone it by rewarding them financially if someone gets hurt.
Williams says he knew it was wrong when he was doing it. Gas prices are down for the first time in 27 days. AAA says the national average fell 0.3 cents, and it's now $3.76 a gallon. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Kernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out. Ken can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
When Apple co-founder Steve Jobs retired as CEO shortly before his death last year, many questioned if his successor Tim Cook would be able to replicate the larger-than-life mystique Jobs had created around Apple products. A day ahead of the event in which it's expected Cook will unveil the new iPad, the questions appear answered. Cook is predicting tablet devices, especially the iPad, soon will outsell PCs in all their incarnations. Widespread reports from the blogosphere say the new iPad will abandon the number moniker and be called the iPad HD, in part because of possible retina scanning ability. More airlines are redesigning their interior cabins to make more room, not for you, but for your stuff. United and Delta join other carriers, expanding the size of their overhead bins, in large part because checked baggage fees prompt passengers to max out their allowance for carry-ons. Fresh worries about China's ability to keep its economy growing are yanking down global stock markets today. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
This year, 71,000 women will die from lung cancer. That's almost 80% more than will die from breast cancer. And more than will die from breast, uterine, and ovarian cancer combined. Lung cancer diagnoses among women are up sixfold in 30 years. For women touched by lung cancer, it's easy to feel alone. No sports teams in pink cleats. No iconic ribbons on politicians' lapels. No telethons, benefit concerts, or bracelets. No nationwide survivor walks. Lung cancer is a painful, lonely journey. Let's show our mothers, sisters, daughters, friends that they are not alone. We turn the tide on breast cancer. We can do it for lung cancer, too. Go to womenandlungcancer.org to help. That's womenandlungcancer.org. That's womenandlungcancer.org. Spread the word. Join the fight.
At Quicken Loans, we provide you with state-of-the-art online tools, like our app for your smartphone, MyQL Mobile. This means that if you work with a mortgage lender other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with someone who doesn't use state-of-the-art online tools. Let me demonstrate. Can I upload my mortgage documents with your mobile app?
No, sorry. We don't offer mobile apps. I didn't realize appetizers were mobile.
Are you using a typewriter?
Why, yes, I am. We just upgraded from Carrier Pigeon.
So I take it you don't offer your clients the latest and greatest technology.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
Industry-leading tools like MyQL Mobile to get you through your loan process with speed and ease. One more way Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Oh, good morning. This is Tony Trupiano. I'm sorry, I was reading something. And I didn't do all my checks before the show. All right. Sorry. It's morning. It's Tuesday, March 6, 2012, 6:07 a.m. I hope you're all well. Wow. I just, you know, glance away for a minute and look what happens. Hey, great to be with you. Super. Happy Monday. Or that's not Monday. Happy Tuesday. How's everyone doing this morning? I mean, I'm sitting here looking at my lineup for today, and the only thing I can tell you with great certainty is that Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro AFL-CIO, will be with us at 8 o'clock. Should I just leave it there, Jeff, and see what happens? I'm afraid to do anything. I'm afraid to touch this.
No, I'm sure we'll be good today.
Okay. I just don't know. James Clift with the Michigan Environmental Council will be with us in the 7 o'clock hour as well. As well as Occupy Detroit at 7:50. Again, Chris Mihalakis will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. And, of course, your calls, comments, questions, suggestions. We're ready for you. And feel free to join us at any time, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. So let's go ahead and get this thing started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Ownership. You got to own your stuff. You got to ownership your stuff. Ownership is today's first word. Why? Well, why not? Ownership, it's whether you're owning your message, whether you're owning your life, whether you're owning your baggage. You own your house, your car, your clothes, whatever. The muffin and coffee that you've got in the front seat of the car right now. You know, ownership is important. Ownership gives us lots of things. It gives us a sense of pride and purpose. Ownership gives us a sense of responsibility. For some, that's a lot more exciting than it is for others. I always say, hey, don't be in such a hurry. But, hey, what do I know? Ownership, especially when it comes to your quote-unquote stuff. You got to own your own stuff. You listening, Rush Limbaugh? You got to own your own stuff. Ownership. It's about taking personal responsibility at some level. Ownership is today's first word. And, you know, a guy that owns his stuff is Jeff Radford, most of the time anyway. He owns lots of technology, as I found out.
I knew that was coming. When I heard ownership, I was like, oh, geez.
You know, you kind of helped me. You kind of helped me with that word today. You inspire me, Jeffrey. You inspire me.
I'm glad I could help.
Hey, we're up to 975 likes.
Wow.
Well,
that was a big jump then.
AJ O'Neill posted right after the show yesterday, posted to Facebook. He said, my friend Tony has got a Facebook page, and I would like you folks, he's trying to get to 1,000, and he certainly deserves that. Could you go help him? So 15 people did from yesterday morning, actually maybe a little more than 15 people. So we're now just 25 away. Dun, dun, dun. So we will get there eventually, and I'm guessing it'll be before the end of the week. I feel confident about that. But I knew you would be excited, and of course we have a new look Facebook page, which none of us are enjoying very much. But we don't have a choice because Facebook forced it on us. And I did figure out how to turn off that stuff at the top, so I don't have all that administrative stuff that was driving me nuts. So now that's at least disappeared. I know how to make it reappear too, but I know how to make it disappear. So now it's a little bit easier for me to read. And we do have a poll question of the day today, as we do every day. And then I want to kind of go back and look at yesterday's after the break. But the poll question today, very quickly before we talk about Tiger baseball, which we're going to do because they won yesterday. Do you believe that after the Super Tuesday results are in this evening, that there will be a clear front runner, and that the days of a multi-candidate race on the GOP side of things are almost over? Already people are early on saying yes. I don't know. I haven't answered it yet, so we'll see. I haven't figured out what my answer is going to be, and I'm thinking about it. But, hey, let's go Tigers. Justin Verlander throws a couple scoreless innings yesterday, allows one bloop single and facing seven batters. I don't know. You know, but apparently he was lobbying for another inning, but Leland said, dude, sorry, too early in the season. Not going to let you do that.
And Quentin Berry. You're going to mention Quentin Berry, right?
Yeah, who?
That's what I love about spring training is like the guys that you kind of heard of before, maybe if you got like a real deep interest in baseball, but will never, you know, play part of the team, come up with big doubles and triples late in games to win it, and it's like, okay, congratulations on winning the game, but nobody knows or cares about Quentin Berry, I guess, today.
Apparently not, including me. Although I did listen to some of the game online, one of the things I like about the preseason is they actually let the game go on online, which they don't during the regular season. Major League Baseball is a bunch of schmucklies. They're so money-oriented. If you want to listen to baseball online, the game being called, you have to pay for it. I'm a cheapskate, so that's that. But I did get to listen to the game yesterday. It was kind of fun.
I didn't know that it was going to do that. Did you know yesterday was a game that was going to be broadcast?
I did.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know. I got in the car, and it was slightly chilly, but it was a warmer day than it has been. Sun's out. I can see blue skies. Turn the radio on, and it's baseball. I was like, what is going on?
It felt good, didn't it?
Oh, it felt great.
It really did feel good. And we're actually going to have a nicer day weather-wise, temperature-wise today. Not that we're out of the woods yet weather-wise, but we're certainly closer to warmer weather than we are to colder weather at this point, so I feel good about that. That's that. So Cliff Averill got the franchise tag. I was not terribly surprised by that. I'm sure he's unhappy about it, but how unhappy are you by making $10.6 million?
Oh, the players hate those things.
They can still negotiate.
No, not always. Cliff can. There's two different franchise tags I learned yesterday, which it's funny how sometimes something comes up and all of a sudden you have to read up on it to become an expert. But so they tagged him with the non-exclusive franchise tag, which means he can negotiate with other teams and strike a deal. And if the Lions want to match, they can. If not, then they'll get two first-round draft picks
right,
for him.
That I knew.
Love that. I think that's really cool. Now the Saints put the exclusive tag on Drew Brees, which means he can't negotiate with any other team. It's basically it's the Saints and that's it. So there's no draft picks. There's no other teams involved. And Drew Brees, I guess, is livid. He's just the players hate the franchise tag. Even like in Cliff Averill's case, they absolutely hate that.
Well, why do they hate it though?
Because it does knock down their negotiating. I mean, Cliff Averill can go out and talk to other teams, but instead of him just being a free agent and saying, "Okay, we'll give you this amount of money, you come play for us." Now it's we'll give you this amount of money and two draft picks to your team. So it kind of really You know, you must really want Cliff Avril. Or you say, hey, if we're giving up two draft picks, we're not going to offer you that much of a contract. We can't give up tons of money and draft picks for you. So it's severely cuts into their negotiating skills. I mean, he's still going to fall back on the amount that you just said, unless the Lions can negotiate a longer deal with him, which is what they're hoping. They basically put this tag on him to give more time to hammer out a deal.
Well, they didn't have a choice. The way I read it, they didn't have it. Well, I mean, of course, they had a choice, but in order to retain him, to guarantee to retain him next year, they had to do this. They don't want to lose him. I mean, that's one of the. Let's try to look at that positively. They don't want to lose the guy. So by slapping that tag on him, it basically, because there was a deadline. The deadline was at some time yesterday, whether it was 3 o'clock or 4. 5, whatever time, doesn't matter. And maybe it does matter, but the deadline was yesterday, which is the point. So they realized after, again, my understanding, after negotiating hot and heavy all weekend long, that they weren't going to come to an agreement by 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. They were, Lions were convinced of that. Keeping in mind, and it could have just been dialogue, but Martin Mayhew, the general manager of the Lions, said just less than a month ago that the last thing he wanted to do was put a franchise tag on Cliff Avril, but if he had to do it, he would, and he felt like he had to do it, so I'm going to trust that he had to do it.
I think the non-exclusive means that they're fine with losing him. But it comes at a huge price. Like, give us two first-round draft picks, and then we'll let him go, which I think is great.
Yeah, I do, too.
That's exactly what Tigers fans wished would have happened with Polanco. Offer him arbitration. That way, when he does sign with the Phillies, at least you get something in return.
Right. Yeah, that was a huge mistake. And I miss him, by the way. But Bird can confuse people that don't follow sports, so let's just drop it there. The bottom line is, now they've kind of resolved that, and actually what it does, Jeff, it frees them up to renegotiate or to continue to negotiate Kelvin Johnson's deal and Stephen Tulloch, some of the other free agents that we need to sign because they don't have to, put the energy into Cliff Avril. And they don't. Let's just be honest about it. That's not where their energies have to go now.
Yeah, but I think it will be.
Well, it will, but I don't think it's the priority anymore.
Yeah, they can take some time with
it. Yeah, they sure can. All right, let's take a quick break here. We've got a lot of stuff to get to when we continue. We will do a little bit more on this Rush Limbaugh situation, update you on what's happening there. And I'm finding you conservatives that listen to the show, especially those of you that troll the Facebook page, to be quite lame. Yeah, you're lame, that's for sure. We'll get to it on the other side. 888-552-3595. If you want to join us, do it now. We'll take the break and be back on 1310 WDTW.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. A couple of problems out there. Northbound 75 after Southfield Road. You're going to find an accident on both shoulders there. Four cars are involved. And 94 westbound at the Lodge. We have a disabled vehicle in the left lane. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, but it will gradually become mostly sunny. A high near 48. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 40. And then tomorrow, breezy, partly sunny, but a high in the upper 50s. Right now, it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you. you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I've got an article in front of me that says foreclosure settlement total to state up to almost $800 million. And Curtis Hertel Jr., who is the Register of Deeds in Ingham County, joins us now. Let's talk about what this particular settlement is about.
What it has to do with is the some of the improper practices in the servicing of mortgages and selling of mortgages in the mortgage industry. It's only with the five major banks, which is a reduction from the rumored settlement that was supposed to include MERS and their actual document mills. And that's a good thing, actually. Also, there's no criminal immunity in this, so it only actually limits what states can actually sue for. Yeah, I'm not saying I support the settlement because, you know, in many ways, the devil's in the details. And until we actually figure out exactly what teeth are in the settlement and everything that's included, there's a lot of questions to be asked. But I do want to say there are some positive things, and this does not mean our fight's over.
With Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Tribbiani on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Good morning and welcome back. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. Talk a little Rush Limbaugh. And we're not going to focus a whole lot more on it, as it's a story that's going to pretty much take care of itself. He's lost, I think, at last count, 8 advertisers, all of them major. Because when you have an audience of supposedly 20 million people, that's major. Interestingly, Jeff, on the MediaMatters.org website, they've got a bunch of Limbaugh audio, and he was talking about the advertisers leaving the show yesterday, and he was basically saying, the advertisers that are leaving the show just don't care about, you know, making money because they made a lot of money with me. And so if they don't want to make money, then that's their decision.
If that's his view on it, I mean, that's why they were leaving, because they wanted to keep making money.
Yeah. According to him, they don't want to make money any longer because they're leaving. They're being pressured by the liberals. And he said that, his regret is that he acted like a liberal commentator. And that is his regret. Interestingly, I had posted a poll question yesterday about Rush Limbaugh and whether or not he should be fired. And I had to keep editing the question or the answers to the question because people kept adding answers that had absolutely nothing to do with the question. The question was this: even after apologizing, do you believe Rush Limbaugh should be fired after his remarks last week and a career-long pattern of controversial remarks and the ensuing outrage they have caused? That was the question. Yes, no, and then somebody added an answer that was kind of like yes, so I just left it there because only a couple people answered to it. Now, 47 people answered yes, he should be fired. 16 people answered no, and 5 people answered to the yes question. All right. But people kept adding stuff that didn't belong there because the question had nothing to do with Bill Maher, Ed Schultz, or any kind of liberal talker, right? Didn't. So my question, Jeff, is why can't Republicans just kind of, take one for the team and realize that their boy, Rush Limbaugh, is an absolute imbecile, who is misogynistic, who is racist, who outed himself as being all of that and more, and just kind of live with it instead of saying, but what about your guy? But what about your guy? Because that just doesn't, that's not a legitimate argument in my book.
Well, and it confuses the message.
I guess that's the point of doing it, right? To confuse the message.
What about this or that? Okay, well, does that change it? I mean, it's okay then? It's not okay. That's the point. You got to focus on what he said.
Right, and this was about Rush Limbaugh. It wasn't about Bill Maher, and it wasn't about Ed Schultz, and it wasn't about anybody else but Rush Limbaugh and what he did and that situation. It wasn't about anything else at all. So I found it absolutely fascinating that that's the way the Republicans insist on defending this, because it has absolutely nothing to do with the reality of the situation. Now, Sandra Fluck was on The View yesterday, and we're going to get to some audio from her in just a few moments, where she... fairly successfully, not defends, but certainly states her case. And then we've got, some other reaction, including Joan Walsh of Salon.com, and interestingly, Don Imus, which I found his comments to be fascinating. But we're going to go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Now, I got to tell you, before we get to the first caller, I am a little bit surprised that this story still has the legs it has, which to me says a great deal about how the rest of the country is taking this, which is not lightly, which ultimately is a good thing. But this has, again, nothing to do with anybody but Rush Limbaugh. It has nothing to do about the hypocrisy of the left. It has nothing to do with anything but what Rush Limbaugh did, not one day, not 2 days, but for 3 days in a row. Tom in Detroit joins us this morning. Tom, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, you know, in terms of answering part of your question, I think it was something I believe from yesterday was, are the Republicans afraid of Rush Limbaugh? I mean, think about this. They have let this man become the face and the voice of the Republican Party, and they created a monster that they can no longer control. I mean, because, you know, the way he railed at this woman and insulted her, and just not her, he insulted women as well, okay? And, you know, I heard Romney saw it on the news list. He accepted Limbaugh's apology. I mean, come on. He didn't insult Willard Romney.
Romney accepted Limbaugh's apology.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know why he would do that. Listen, there's been some Republicans, some prominent Republicans that have absolutely been on the right side of this issue, Tom, and I want to congratulate them for that. Mm-hmm. You know, they have come out and they have said, no, this was wrong. There's no way to defend it. He should have never said it. Not that they're saying that he needs to be fired or anything, but they have certainly not defended his remarks in any way, shape, or form. Some of them, not all of them, some of them.
Right. And, you know, and there needs to be more to join that choir, to put the heat on whatever conglomerate owns the radio station.
Clear Channel.
Okay, to get him off of there, because like I said, you know, he should be in the ranks with Don Imus in terms of, you know, you saw the cartoon. Well, there's a cartoon from the Free Press. They're asking people to write in and comment. They've got Limbaugh, you know, with a foot in his mouth, and they're asking people to fill in the caption. But he should be right there in the league of Don Imus when Don Imus said what he said about those college co-eds that were playing basketball for the team.
Right. When we're going to get to what Don Imus, and Tom, thank you for your call. Don Imus said here in just a little bit. But let me go back to the phones and welcome Chris in Ferndale. Chris, welcome to First Shift. Good morning to you.
Morning, Tony.
What's on your mind, Chris?
I wanted to comment on the Rush Limbaugh. There's a couple differences in the Rush Limbaugh and Ed Schultz and Bill Maher. I mean, first of all, Ed Schultz and Bill Maher are decent people. And the people that pay attention to them know that. And even the people that like Rush Limbaugh, they know he's not a decent person. he's not a good person, but they like him anyway. And the First Amendment, the freedom of speech thing, I think the right is absolutely correct. Rush Limbaugh has the right to say pretty much whatever he wants. He's in America and he has the freedom of speech. But we as the people have the right to boycott all his sponsors to get him off the air.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, and you make a good point, Chris. You make a very good point, and appreciate the call this morning. Yeah, I mean, we're gonna continue this on the other side. There's no question Chris is right. There's no question Tom is right. And you know, Chris makes the fundamental point that the First Amendment, as it protects my right to say what I say on this show, it also protects Rush Limbaugh's right to say on his show. But there's also the consequences of what you say, and all the money in the world, Mr. Limbaugh, is not going to buy you freedom. And not in this case. 888-552-3595. Let's take the break on 1310 WDTW. First Shift continues right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. We have that accident out there northbound 75 after Southfield Road. It's blocking both shoulders. Four cars are involved. I'm Russ with traffic.
It's back. Drive through McDonald's today to get a Shamrock Shake. This cool treat full of minty goodness is only here for a limited time. Don't delay.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny, a high near 48, breezy winds out of the south as well. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 40. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high in the upper 50s, but some gusty winds out of the south-southwest. Right now it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Brandon Jessup, the CEO of Michigan Forward.
If this came easy, it wouldn't be worth it. And to fight a law that's as erroneous as this, that stinks the way this law does, the law that puts dictators over communities, somebody's got to stand up to that. And we're glad Michigan Forward, ASME Council 25, the Michigan Education Association, we're all glad to stand up and say, hey, we said something about this law, and we put it on the ballot for justice to decide on which way this thing goes.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Let's come out and say the obvious. Mitt Romney is a doofus. Yes, Rick Santorum is a bigger doofus and even a dangerous one, for he seems determined to impose a theocracy over us. But that doesn't excuse Romney's ever-escalating doofusness, and it's time to call him on it. There's his incurable elitism, of course, such as trying to connect with Michigan auto workers by bragging that his wife drives a couple of Cadillacs. But I'm referring to Romney's much more troubling dive down the right-wing rabbit hole, where he has embraced the dogma that government does nothing good. In particular, he bizarrely clings to the demonstrably untrue position that the 2008 federal bailout of General Motors and Chrysler was a disaster. He first got lost in this ideological brainstorm when running for president 4 years ago, predicting that if the bailout happened, quote, you can kiss the American automotive industry goodbye. Wow, spectacularly wrong. Both corporations now make good profits. They've paid back the rescue funds. More than 1 million jobs were saved. GM is again the world's largest automaker. The industry is reopening plants and hiring thousands. And Michigan's whole economy has been lifted from near total collapse. Yet Mitt is still lost in the mist of laissez-faire land, constantly assailing President Obama for intervening, even though it was George Bush who launched the rescue, and still he insists we'd be better off if this essential, iconic American industry had simply, poof, gone bankrupt. This is Jim Hightower saying, such thinking might be okay if he was applying to run a predatory takeover fund of Wall Street profiteers. But he's not.
and it reveals an alarming shallowness about what a government can and must do, and a foolishness about the public responsibility of a president. In other words, a disqualifying doofusness.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Very quickly, and then we'll move on from this Rush Limbaugh issue for now anyway. And since he has a lot of self-love, he may want to extend it further, but I don't. Don Imus, Tom referenced during the last segment. Don Imus on Rush Limbaugh. That's what he had to say.
The other headlines this morning: 7 companies now pulling their advertising from Rush Limbaugh's radio program after his comments about the Georgetown law student who was.
There's the problem with all this. It was a vile personal attack of this woman,
right?
And it was sustained over. It was what, Wednesday. Then they come back and double down on Thursday. They come back and double down on Friday, and then issue a lame apology on your website in which you say, "I didn't mean to personally attack her," when you did attack her. So were it me, and I ran a radio station or whatever, I'd make him go down there and apologize to her face to face. Get on the, he owns a Gulfstream 4, get on it, go to Washington, take her to lunch and say, "Look, I'm sorry I said this stuff, and I'll never do it again," period. Now, he's an insincere pig, pill-pumping
wow.
pinhead.
Jeez.
No, really, I mean, it's disgraceful. You got to show some guts. So, he has no guts. You can't say stuff. And I look what I did, and what I did was a lame attempt to be funny, and it was 3 words, and I went and met with these people after I'd been fired. No, you got to look him in the eyes, and you got to show guts, and he has no guts. He's a punk. If he were on my radio station, he wouldn't be on it. On that basis, enough of what he said. The fact that he's a coward. I mean, you can't attack somebody like that, but it was vile anyway. And then that shows some guts. Now he's got no guts. So.
Now, it's kind of interesting, and I guess I appreciate what Don Imus had to say there. He certainly owned his stuff, which is important. And reminding you all that Don Imus was fired from a pretty sweet gig. You know, not that he didn't end up back on radio. He did, but trust me, not nearly to the level that he was on before he used 3 unfortunate words in his world. Nappy-headed hoes. That's what he called. But what basketball team was that, Jeff? I just don't remember.
I think it was the Rutgers.
Yeah, the Rutgers women's basketball team. He called them nappy-headed hoes, which was really a stupid thing to say. Now, I'll tell you, again, being the liberal that I am, I thought that him being fired was a little bit of an overreaction to that. But I said that at the time, and it is what it is. But, you know, he dealt with the consequences of what he said, and he did go meet with them, and he did go apologize, and that some of the women on that team were on the Today Show or Good Morning America or one of the national morning programs, and they accepted his apology, Don Imus's apology, and that's all well and good, and that's, of course, behind us. But that brings us back to the bloviating, rotund Rush Limbaugh, who just is so full of himself. And, Jeff, I've watched on your computer the last couple days more Rush Limbaugh, and I say watch because he does his show with a webcam, than I have in my entire life. And I did not realize that the arrogance. Do you watch his body language when he's doing the show, just how cocky it is? You know, smoking that cigar the whole time he's doing his show, just really acting like a dick. Hate to say it, but he's just so cocky. Do you get that feeling, or you're not paying attention like I am?
So you're not a big fan then?
No, I never have been a big fan. I mean, I'm a little jealous, to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind his contract, wouldn't mind his audience. You know, but I don't want ditto heads. I mean, that's the other thing is, you know, do you ever hear me saying to people, "I want you to agree with everything I say"? No. And he says that everything he does is basically for entertainment purposes only, and that we're not to take him seriously. You know, he does that talent on loan from God and half his brain tied behind his back. And, you know, he's supposed to be self-depreciating and all that. And I don't buy it for a minute. I think that he is one egotistical son of a gun. And it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. AOL left him, was one of the seven or eight that left him yesterday, and AOL was spending a lot of money with him. It'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But knowing Rush Limbaugh, this is going to go away very quickly. Joan Walsh of Salon.com had an interesting take on Rush Limbaugh and the GOP. And before we get to this, Jeff, I read this morning that it was either the state house in Missouri or Montana. One or the other is actually doing a bronze bust of Rush Limbaugh to put in their lobby.
Yes.
The state house.
No, yeah, it's Missouri.
Missouri.
Yep.
Can you believe that? Can you imagine the state house here in Michigan doing a bust of Tony Trupiano for my service to democracy? What would they be honoring this guy for?
Being famous. And that's basically what it comes down to.
All right. Well, anyway, Joan Walsh of Salon.com about Rush's relationship with the grand old party.
Oh, I think they're absolutely afraid of him. Ed, you know, I think Rush has been like crack for the Republican Party, and they need more and more of it to get them high, and he personally needs more and more outrage and more abuse and misogyny to get himself excited. And they just keep tolerating it. You know, when President Obama became president and he wished that he would fail, and he said he didn't want to have to bend over backwards and forwards and got into all sorts of sexual weirdness about the president, you know, people wouldn't say anything about it then. And every time he says something horrible, Republicans are asked to separate themselves, and they refuse. They need him to rile up their angry base, and they've been living with it, and he's really seriously hurting them now.
And the Joan Walsh on the Ed Schultz Show. Very quickly, Sandra Fluck was on The View yesterday, and I want to try to get to as much of this as I can. She explains why she testified in the first place, which I think is an important thing to know.
Yes, I was sharing stories of women who attend my university who've been unable to access contraception as a result of the lack of insurance coverage and the types of dire medical consequences that they've suffered as a result of that. One woman lost an ovary, things like that.
All right. I'm watching, I'm sorry, very quickly, I'm watching TV. Did you know Oreos were 100 years old today, Jeff?
I did.
I didn't. Anyway. So, anyway, Sandra Fluck explains why she testified in the first place. And then her reaction to, can you imagine being her reaction to what Rush Limbaugh had to say?
Well, initially I was, of course, shocked and stunned. I think any woman who has ever been called these types of names is at first. But then I tried to see this for what it is. And I believe that what it is an attempt to silence me, to silence the millions of women and the men who support them who have been speaking out about this issue and conveying that contraception is an important health care need that they need to have met in an affordable, accessible way.
All right. Now, listen, before I get to this next piece of audio, you know, I guess most men can't relate to being called a slut, because there's not a male equivalent. Is there? Is there a male equivalent to being called a slut? I don't think there is. I just don't think there is. Is there, Jeff? I just, nothing's coming to mind. Seriously,
it's the same word, probably.
Well, yeah, but I mean, men would like to be sluts. You know, most men anyway.
Well, that's just the societal double standard.
You got it. All right. Well, you know, so here's the question. I'll ask you very quickly before we listen to the audio. If you were her, realizing you're a man, I'm a man, would you accept his apology? I would not.
No, because he doesn't apologize for the thoughts or meaning behind it. He just apologizes for the use of words because, well, I mean, she'll explain it.
Yep, absolutely. Here she goes.
Well, let me just say this, and I encourage everyone to look at the statement in its entirety online. But what I have to say is that I don't think that a statement like this issued saying that his choice of words was not the best changes anything. And especially when that statement is issued when he's under significant pressure from his sponsors who have begun to pull their support.
Do you think he should be fired?
lack of sincerity is what I was looking for. So thank you, Sandra, for sharing that. Rush Limbaugh's apology lacked sincerity in any way, shape, or form. He was doing it out of an obligation to his sponsors, which he has to this point not been able to keep. But she goes on to make sure that the proper information gets out there, including this.
Well, I want to correct a misperception, which Mr. Limbaugh and a lot of other commentators have been putting out there to confuse the public. The idea that this is about taxpayers or the government paying for contraception, it is absolutely not. This regulation covers private insurance, and it wants to have this type of medical drug treated in a way that's similar to how other medical drugs are treated. And it is health care. Women need this medication to prevent seizures, to prevent cysts from growing on their ovaries. I've heard from so many women who've talked about why they need this critically, not to mention the important medical need of preventing unintended pregnancies.
Yeah, keeping in mind, gentlemen, because ladies know this, but keeping in mind, gentlemen, that some women, a lot of women, take birth control pills not to prevent pregnancy, but as a hormonal replacement. And for whatever reasons they need to do that, anything from PMS to heavy blood flow to lots of things in between. So there's a lot of reasons to take a birth control pill that has have absolutely nothing to do with sex, of course.
And I'm not sure, I didn't look it up, but the claim that was made yesterday on The View when she was on was that your insurance company does cover Viagra, and it also covers the
Cialis.
And it covers the procedure men have.
Vasectomies.
Yep.
And women, not so much. Not so much. Yeah, double standard there. Anyway, we'll wrap it up. That up for now. Bob Ficano, when we continue, and what's going on in Wayne County, because we've not forgotten, and this is far from over. I'm Tony Trupiano. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll take the break and be right back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
My next guest is State Representative Jim Ananick.
I think the way we have to look at it is we have a pretty substantial budget surplus that was left over from the work that Governor Granholm did. And I think a lot of times people forget about that. This was the fruits of Governor Granholm's plan sort of coming and actually starting to work. And I think we should invest that money and maybe get back to work. And whether that's getting school teachers back in the classroom or, in this case, police officers, I think it's extremely important to make sure our communities are safe.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo. On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now time to punch back in.
All right, let's see if we can get through this. Bob Picano was on Flashpoint with Devin Scillian on Sunday. We did not have time to get to this yesterday because the Rush Limbaugh situation kind of took over First Shift yesterday morning. So let's get to it today. Bob Picano says everyone who did unlawful things did them behind his back. Everyone. That's what he said.
Well, first of all, somebody's going to do something illegal, and they're trying to do it. They're going to do it in the shadows. They don't come up to you and say, oh, guess what? I think I'm going to try to break the law here in what I'm going to do. We have set up a number of standards that try to be met and checks and balances as well. But if somebody has a criminal intent that they actually want to circumvent the system and go around it, unless the person that they're trying to extract something from comes to you, between the two of them, if they just set something up, it's very difficult to go after. For example, in this case, the FBI, set up surveillance for 10 days. They have wiretaps. They have things that, as a management control, we don't have as much access to as well. So, so at this point, what you do is that if he did something wrong, you hold them accountable, and we've been very cooperative.
And I'm sure you have, Bob. I don't question that. He goes on and basically does his best effort to confuse us on buyouts versus severance. This is what he says.
I think there's been a perception of, okay, what is the difference between severance and buyout? Buyouts are very common practices that are used throughout business and has been used throughout the state of Michigan. For example, you just had buyouts that just occurred with the state, with the teachers. And there is just Ford Motor Company, Chrysler, and General Motors use buyouts. What we have set up, and I'm not talking about Mr. Elder, but the perception is that there's all these severance packages that are there. That simply isn't true, because we had, by law you have to do it, you have an early retirement incentive that you have set up. It has to be offered to the unions as well as all the management. In this particular case, what everybody's trying to focus on is like 12 to 15 people in these buyout situations.
But that's why people are troubled by it. It's sort of a friends and family plan. Yes, it's 12 to 15 people, but you're closest.
No, let me explain what happened. So you offer it to the 200 union members that could partake of the buyout incentive. At the time, there were 55 management people that wanted to take it. And what we said was, okay, 40 of you can take it, but we're going to spread out the 15 of you because we don't want to have a brain drain. It's a common practice that has happened. It's probably, I know it's happened in the auto industry, and it's happened, you go to school districts and the same thing happens. So these 15 people actually were offered the same deal. We just asked them to delay it.
All right, and so he's asking us to believe that so many people wanted to get out that they were trying to slow down the process. And I'm not buying. That's me personally. I'm not buying it. He goes on to talk about Azam Elder, who was his right-hand man, and says this.
I rescinded all of them in October. Now, Azam's, he was one of the 15 that was in there, okay? And that package that was offered to everybody else rescinded the previous package that was offered to him. So, I mean, there's legally it's locked into, that it's an offer that is offered to everyone. It's a common practice.
Well, Bob Picano, of course, is a little bit in denial about a lot, but he says this isn't, by the way, all about him. And it is about what's best for Wayne County. Listen and tell me what you believe.
Well, I think at this point, with all the things at the beginning of this that I said that we're doing, shows that we are getting work done in Wayne County. The major part of the speech was about all the economic development that we did. We're talking about a GE, one of the biggest projects in southeastern Michigan that is part of the Aerotropolis, over 1,800 jobs. Ford Motor Company, when we worked with them with the Wayne Assembly Plant, we saved 1,000 jobs from going down to Mexico and actually were done here in Wayne County.
Were these not last year's success? I mean,
they're building on all of it. For example, GE, when we first brought them in, was projected at 1,200 jobs. Because the success kept growing and kept expanding, it happened through there. We had $1.4 billion in investment last year in Wayne County. In the past 4 years, we've had $7 billion investment that has come into Wayne County. And right now, if you were to ask Ray Byers, his people are so busy, he's asked me for more staff about companies that want to come in and help create jobs in Wayne County. And that's what we're trying to do.
All right, and that's all verifiable. So I hope that WDIV verifies what Bob Ficano's saying. But he says, listen, guys, you know, all of us, relax, because there's a new team in town. This is what he said.
Well, first of all, they don't. I have a new team that we brought in well over 2.5 months ago with a new deputy county executive. We have a new economic development director, a new corporation counsel. But that's just simply a misperception. What you see here is what we've been able to do is make sure that the procurement process has been followed. And if you look at it, I think that you see that it has been followed. If there's been one or two persons that have worked in the shadows, have gone out on their own, and have attempted to do these type of activities, I've always said, hold them to the highest standard, accountable, and have law enforcement take care of them and go after them in this whole process.
Well, we saw that.
And then he goes on to talk about the commissioners, Laura Cox and a couple others that have now called for his resignation. He has a response to that as well.
Well, I think a lot of showboating is going on right now, but look at it. Is the county business getting done? The chairman of the board says yes. Everything's progressing through the board. I mean, we get them their contracts on time. Is your snow being plowed? I know we haven't had as much this year, but you see that that's been carried out. And there's been a lot of things that have been achieved. For example, we have a balanced budget for 2011. We're a little bit even in the black. That is something that's unusual for a lot of municipalities in southeastern Michigan.
And then he goes on to talk about some of his successes. Here's some of the progress of Wayne County.
Also, we settled our contract with AFSCME.
Right.
That was a three-year battle. Finally, they have come into line with all the rest of the other unions. By this, we announced with POAM and the lieutenant sergeants, we'll probably save about $2 million because we won't have to go into 312. We settled the contracts with them as well. And the biggest obstacle that we had been the courts. They had sued us every year. And we came to a five-year agreement with that with the help of the Supreme Court State Administrator. There's a five-year agreement. We know what the costs are going to be. And people are noticing, especially at least on Wall Street, that things are moving in the right direction.
This is business.
All right, and we're not going to be able to get to all the audio with the time we have left. But last but not least, he says that he's only had a short history of losing control, if you will, a very short history. This is what he says after 30 years of being a public servant.
There's been 4 or 5 months of suddenly some of these issues have risen up. If I had a pattern of lack of institutional control, I think you would have seen it over the past 29 years, as well as what perhaps would have happened over the past 4 or 5 months that have come to light.
I'm not sure what happened to that audio, but he sure does sound like he's, I don't know, smoking down? Don't know. Anyway, Bob Ficano. And we're not going to have time to get to a story. Maybe at 7:35 we'll have chances, maybe 7:22, to wrap up this a little bit. But I'm not buying any of it. And that's just me, you know, as the Wayne County resident. Did it ring, Jeff, to you a little insincere? Because it sure did to me.
It sounded like he was scrambling a lot.
No. He's had more than enough time to think these answers through. God knows that's for sure. But we'll keep his feet to the fire. And it's not going away anytime soon. The FBI still has lots of work to do. Okay, when we come back, our monthly visit with the Michigan Environmental Council, and a lot to do in the next hour, including Occupy Detroit. So you'll want to stay with us. 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. We'll be back right after we do this for the top of the hour.
WDIV. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident northbound 75 at La Blasance Road down Monroe. Two lanes are blocked. Only one lane is open. Traffic is backed up a couple miles. Also, some slow traffic, 696 westbound between Mound and Woodward. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy but gradually becoming mostly sunny. A high in the upper 40s, tonight mostly clear, a low around 40. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high in the upper 50s. Right now it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Topping the news this hour, the Republican race for president could become more clear after tonight. This is Super Tuesday, when 10 states hold primaries and caucuses. CNN's Paul Steinhauser says the polls suggest Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum are running neck and neck in Ohio.
It's a battleground state in the general election because of the blue-collar vote, because of the Catholic vote. Rick Santorum wants to win here because he's been trying to appeal to blue-collar voters. He's from neighboring Pennsylvania. Mitt Romney really wants to win this state. If you turn on the TV, you see a lot of Romney commercials. Romney and that independent super PAC supporting him have been flooding the airways.
Romney told a crowd in Youngstown he has the experience to turn around the economy.
I spent my life in the real economy. I understand why jobs come and why they go. Other people in this race have debated about the economy. They've read about the economy. They've talked about it in subcommittee meetings, but I've actually been in it.
Newt Gingrich is hoping to win his home state of Georgia today. Georgia has the most delegates up for grabs on Super Tuesday. Gas prices are lower for the first time in 27 days. AAA reports a drop of 0.3 cents. The national average is now $3.76 a gallon. Senator John McCain is pushing for U.S. airstrikes to end the violence in Syria. He says he knows this would mean sending American pilots into a threatening environment.
To be clear, this will require the United States to suppress enemy air defenses in at least part of the country.
McCain says the U.S. has a moral obligation to build support for airstrikes on Syria. A funeral service is scheduled today for one of the three kids killed in a shooting at an Ohio high school last month. The accused shooter, 17-year-old T.J. Lane, is due in court today for a pretrial hearing to limit the amount of information that's released about him. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. The easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here's some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As more global computing moves to the cloud, anxiety runs high as to whether ongoing cloud migration will lead to lost jobs. New research finds it actually will create 14 million new jobs over the next 3 years, according to industry researcher IDC and Microsoft. Good news, certainly, but most of those new jobs will be created in China and India, perhaps only 1 million in North America. A day ahead of what is widely expected to be the unveiling of the new Apple iPad, the blogosphere is swirling with predictions about its features, but it's creating jitters among developers who cannot see the new device until its unveiling when the rest of us see it. So USA Today reports thousands of developers are creating iPad accessories on blind hope they will work. Fresh worries about China's ability to keep its economy growing at the pace enjoyed the past several years are yanking down global stock markets. And right now, S&P futures are losing 12 points, NASDAQ futures down 24. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
This year, 71,000 women will die from lung cancer. That's almost 80% more than will die from breast cancer, and more than will die from breast, uterine, and ovarian cancer combined. Lung cancer diagnoses among women are up sixfold in 30 years. For women touched by lung cancer, it's easy to feel alone. No sports teams in pink cleats. No iconic ribbons on politicians' lapels. No telethons, benefit concerts, or bracelets. No nationwide survivor walks. Lung cancer is a painful, lonely journey. Let's show our mothers, sisters, daughters, friends that they are not alone. We turn the tide on breast cancer. We can do it for lung cancer, too. Go to womenandlungcancer.org to help. That's womenandlungcancer.org. That's womenandlungcancer.org. Spread the word. Join the fight.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to First Shift. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 6, 2012. A pleasure to be with you. We've got our regular monthly visit with the Michigan Environmental Council coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, Occupy Detroit will be with us at 7:50. Chris Mihalakis at 8 o'clock. And a lot of great stuff to get today. Of course, you're always welcome to join us. In a couple different ways you can do that. You can just give us a call on the toll-free number, which is 888-552-3595. You can always send an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. That's tony@thetonyshow.org. And, of course, connect with us via Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. All right, so you know we do a monthly check in with the Michigan Environmental Council. You can find them online by the way at environmentalcouncil.org. And this is a topic this week that, as especially as we're kind of changing seasons here, this will become an issue. So let me get to my guest. And joining us now is the policy director of the Michigan Environmental Council, James Clift, who has joined us in the past. And, James, it's a pleasure to have you back on First Shift this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I got the topic today, and I thought, okay, well, I'm into this. I understand the yard waste thing. I separate it at my curb, and, you know, there's we got our special containers for yard waste, and we separate them, and that's all well and good, right? We want to be separating this stuff from our garbage, do we not?
We do. You think about it. It's something that can be turned into compost, a soil enhancement. Why would we want to be filling up our landfills and having to site more by putting yard waste in them? So when we banned it back in 1995, I think it made up 20% of all, you know, trash going into a yard, into a landfill.
All right. So is there, am I understanding the legislature is taking a look at this law and saying, you know, maybe we don't need to separate it anymore. Maybe that's just too much of a hassle.
Well, I I think what the landfill operators are thinking is, hey, we want the business. We want more of this stuff back in our landfill. Now, the little fig leaf they're putting out there is that, hey, we're generating some landfill gas energy off this landfill, and if we put more grass clippings in a landfill, I'll get a little bit more energy out of it. So that's their excuse they're using to try to get rid of this ban.
All right, this is kind of problematic because I can't easily make the jump with what you're giving me as their justification. I realize it's not your justification. It's the landfill owner's justification, but I can't easily make that leap just by, you know, combining grass with the rest of the garbage that we're going to end up with some kind of, you know, the amazing energy source that we have been wasting away on. I'm not buying it.
Well, you know, they are generating some energy from the landfills now because all that stuff breaking down in the landfill, all that smell you smell coming off a landfill, that's methane. So they are generating energy, and we support them turning that gas into energy. But, you know, we have trouble with their numbers, too, because we don't think the grass is going to add that much to it. It's going to increase that a little bit. But the truth is that it's actually bad for the environment. Because if you just leave the grass clippings on your front lawn, kind of mulch them in, they just kind of break down, they turn into carbon dioxide, they help make your healthier lawn. You put them in a landfill, they turn into methane. And methane is 25 times more potent greenhouse gas than just the carbon dioxide. Landfills aren't very good at capturing, so a bunch of that goes into the atmosphere. So we actually end up with more greenhouse gas, even though their excuse is supposedly they want to generate this new, you know, greener energy.
Well, I'm a little naive on this topic, so James, I'll admit that going in. But can't we capture the energy that's coming off the composting as easily as we are off the garbage?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, over in Europe, that's very popular. As they do what they call in-vessel composting, where it's kind of inside of an enclosed container. They're capturing it off. So they both get a soil enhancement and energy. So they're the ones really doing it right. And that's why I think in here in Michigan, this is just an excuse to try to crush, and it's going to crush the composting industry. This is an industry that, you know, just started getting, you know, its feet under it back in 1995. We banned yard waste. Lots of families put their, like, life savings into buying very expensive composting equipment, have struggled to get this industry on its feet in Michigan. And this bill will crush it. This bill will result in layoff notices going to their employees. It will, you know, result in the loss of the family savings for some of these small businesses.
You know, I'm sitting here, James Clift, saying to myself, if we do nothing, then we don't have to change anything, and it doesn't cost anything, and then everybody lives happily ever after. And I'm not being Pollyanna-ish here. That's actually the right assessment.
That is. Everything would continue on. These people that have made investments keep going. People who want to buy that compost, they're happy. Unfortunately, this landfill industry that, you know, a couple of really big companies kind of control a lot of this around the country. And they're thinking, hey, this is more business for us. Let's squeeze out the competition.
Well, you know, again, I guess if I'm thinking like them, I do realize that there is a special truck that comes and gets my yard waste, James. I'll admit to that because they do come separately than the garbage guys. And so, okay, that's fine. But I can't imagine, again, that this is a big burden on these companies. And, again, we are required by city ordinance, I think. I don't think it's a state. Well, maybe a state law. But we do separate our yard waste, and we have to separate it in a very specific way. And, of course, all of us are very compliant with that. Again, you know, James, this is stuff that we're already doing. And so if we saw some real benefit to changing the legislation, we might be able to put some muscle behind it. But, you know, this kind of begs the question from a legislative standpoint. You know, we're not hearing this from anybody but the Environmental Council. So it always says to me this is a behind closed door kind of deal, maybe even a follow the money kind of deal. Who's proposing the legislation? I'm just curious.
It's a couple of landfills. Actually, the Granger Landfill Company here locally in Lansing, a big proponent of this legislation. And part of the reason is they've got a little side business in selling these landfill gas collection systems. So not only will they get a little bit more energy from their landfills, but maybe they sell a few more systems around the state.
And make a lot more money in the process.
There we go. Yeah, so it really is a follow the money.
Well, it really is a follow the money scenario. Is there some, are there some legislators that are behind this? I mean, is there proposed legislation that's working its way or about to be introduced in the state legislature?
Actually, it's been around for a while, and they've made a couple of runs at this. Over the last 5 years, they've made three or four runs at this, and we've beat them back every time because it's just not a very good idea. But it is up in committee again this morning, 9 o'clock this morning, with, well, from what I'm hearing, a good chance that they've somehow finagled the votes to get it out of the House Energy and Technology Committee. So that would take it to the House floor for the first time. So the House of Representatives potentially voting on it later this week or next week.
Do we have a House bill?
Here is one of the sponsors of the legislation.
Well, you know, again, this is one of those situations where people need to reach to their member in the House and remind them that sometimes if it's not broke and it doesn't need to be fixed, we should just leave it alone. And again, I just want to, James, point out that this is that situation. It costs us nothing to leave it alone, so let's just leave it alone. That makes no sense to change something, and you know, this wasn't a problem in need of a fix. It looks like it's a fix in search of a problem.
Well, and then it's the collateral damage is what I'm worrying about. You're going to lay off a bunch of people across the state. All of these companies do business with somebody else in their community, so that's less business for them. So it's bad for jobs, bad for the environment. Why would we do this?
Yeah, and it really just makes no sense. Again, HB 4265 and 4266 are what you need to be writing down today, folks. You need to get to a phone or an email. I prefer you did it by phone because I think it has more impact. And let your member of your state member of the House know that you oppose and want them to oppose HB 4265 and 4266, just because it makes sense to do. It's the right thing for the environment, and it's the right thing for your community. Man, oh, man, just the idea that they would the proposed legislation that would take away jobs at a time when we still can't seem to find enough of them, James, doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
It doesn't. You know, and they're saying, well, geez, it's only, you know, a couple dozen jobs here, a couple dozen jobs there. But then, you know, what kind of message are you sending to other people who are thinking about starting a small business in Michigan? We encourage these people to come to the state, and we get them here. They, in many cases, you know, millions of dollars worth of equipment. They got bank loans on them. We're just going to pull the rug out from under them.
Well, we saw what they did with the movie incentives after people invested millions of dollars. And then, you know, so this isn't as sexy as that, maybe, but it's I think it's as if not more important at some level because there's the environmental impact as well. Well, I'm glad that you brought this to our attention, James. And of course, we're going to do our best to see if we can help, you know, fight back this legislation. Again, HB 4265 and 4266. Just say no. James, thanks so much for your time this morning, and we'll look forward to visiting with the MEC next month.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Wow. Just one of those things. Again, it's simple. You just, you know, you don't realize that stuff sitting out in front of your house. You know, there's a reason it's there. There's a reason you separate it. And follow the money. Follow the money. It even works for yard waste. Who would have thunk, huh? Let's take a quick break. Lots to get to as we continue here on First Shift. Thanks for joining us this morning, and thanks for punching in. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got some slow traffic out there right now. 696 westbound between Mound and Woodward Avenue, and then 96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Roads. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, but the sun will come out, a high in the upper 40s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 40, and then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 57. Right now, it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Ship coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax breaks. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. In the last hour, we had played a bunch of audio from Bob Ficano on Flashpoint with Devin Scillion on WDIV. And WXYZ TV Channel 7 did a story on what might happen or what could happen, or how it could happen if Ficano was either to step down or to be replaced. And I thought it might be appropriate to play that because there's been very little talk about what succession, if necessary, would look like. And this is what Channel 7 had to say.
Today, I call on Bob Ficano to resign and let Wayne County move on forward to be the great county it can be.
Laura Cox was the first Wayne County commissioner to ask for the embattled county executive to leave office. And she's not alone in wanting Robert Ficano to resign.
I think that it's getting to the point now where we're not able to govern and really provide the services to the people of Wayne County.
Commissioner Kevin McNamara recently sent out about 7,000 emails to take the pulse of his constituents on whether Ficano should stay or go.
Bob Ficano obviously has made
massive mistakes, both leadership-wise and managerial. I want to know, based upon that information, would you ask him for his resignation?
Today, McNamara tells us that the majority of the responses he received are clear. They want Fakano to step down. Ever since the 7 Action News investigators exposed the Turquia Mullen severance scandal and broke the news that the FBI was investigating Fakano's staff for possible corruption, the county CEO has been at the center of a firestorm of resignations, terminations, and grand jury subpoenas. What would it take to remove the county executive from office?
What we do know for sure is there's no provision in the county charter or in state law that allows the county commission to remove the county executive.
But commission chairman Gary Warrenchek says they could try to change the charter.
The commission could propose a charter amendment to allow some sort of a mechanism for removal of any official. But then again, state law might supersede.
Warrenchek also says it's not clear who would choose Fakano's replacement should he voluntarily leave.
If the county executive were to succumb to the pressure and resign from office, the deputy county executive, Jeff Collins, would assume all duties of the county executive.
But if that happens, then there'd be a debate as to whether the deputy CEO would stay until the next election or whether state law would kick in. That calls for the prosecutor, the chief probate judge, and the county clerk to choose Wayne County's next leader. So if it gets to that point, still a lot of questions to be sorted out.
All right. So with all the rumbling going on, what does Robert Fakano have to say about all of this, Heather?
Well, of course, he maintains that he's not going to step down. His press secretary says he's focused on governing and bringing jobs and growth to Wayne County.
Okay. So, Jeff, does it scare you maybe just a little bit that there's really no succession plan at the county level, at the state level, any level? Here or there, here a chick, there a chick, everywhere a chick, chick, go McDonald head. I mean, isn't it a little weird?
I think, not really, I guess. What would they plan ahead for?
Well, yeah, God forbid. Why would we?
Because he's not guilty. You know, this is all done behind his back.
Yeah, okay. I'm a little frightened by that story. So what they're saying is, even if Jeffrey Collins were to step up, and there's some that suggest that would be the right thing to happen, the state might have rules that are different that would supersede it, and then there would be a panel of 3 people that would actually appoint the successor, which to me is about as undemocratic as you can get. And if they're appointing somebody, is it up until the next election or until you can call a special election and they can't answer any of these questions? And who the hell put together the county charter that decided to ignore this part of it? It wasn't me. I know that much. Would I have been smart enough to know that in advance? Sure, I'll say that. Yeah, it's easy for me to say that now, but I don't know if I would have been. But someone's not thinking. Someone's not thinking. It's a little scary. All right, we're open lines, by the way, till 7:50. So if there's something on your mind, Bob Fakano or not, feel free to give us a call at 888-552-3595. We're happy to talk to you today. Today is Super Tuesday, by the way, around the country. There are 10 states and 437 delegates at stake. And we asked the question on our Facebook page, will today, our poll question today is basically, I'm not reading it verbatim, basically, will today give us the front runner? It's certainly very possible. Whether or not it's very probable is an entirely different question, but it is very possible. And so we wait, we wait, we wait, we wait, because we did our good deed. God, it was already last Tuesday, Jeff. It was a week ago that we did the whole Joe DeSano thing. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has been.
And we're still trying to figure out where the delegates go.
Yeah, we are still trying to figure out where the delegates go. In fact, Bruce Felk had sent me this morning. He went to, apparently there was going to be a protest from the Santorum folks at the Michigan GOP headquarters, and 3 people showed up. And according to Bruce, they just took them inside so that they didn't, so they wouldn't do that. And then I'll send you the video of Bruce questioning, in fact, I'll do it right now, of Bruce questioning the spokesperson from the Michigan Republican Party. It didn't go well for him. it didn't go well for him at all. You know, Bruce just asked some very pointed questions, and he didn't want to answer them. In fact, at one point, you know, and Bruce is a legitimate, you know, reporter with the Rochester Citizen. He accused Bruce of not being a legitimate member of the media and that he didn't have a right to question him, which, of course, is not true. Anyway, so I just I sent that to you if you want to take a look at it. The audio is kind of funny. If we have time, maybe we can get to it later. Probably not till tomorrow. But anyway, so the big protest by the Santorum folks were three people, which is the point of why I brought that up. Yeah, the delegate thing is not settled, and it doesn't look like it's going to be anytime soon.
How long do you think this this primary season continues on? Or the
well, here's the, that's a, thanks for
nomination
asking.
Process.
Hey, thanks for asking. You know, I often don't get interviewed on that, so I want to thank you for asking because you know I don't have you know Tom Hartman or Ed Schultz interviewing me this week, so I gotta count on you, Jeff. I appreciate you being there for me. I truly do. No, I'm being serious. Gosh, I think Mitt Romney is going to do well today. You know, I think, you know, the certainly Ohio's critical, and it's a very tight race. If you're looking at the polling numbers, Ohio's very, very tight, as Michigan was. But I think Mitt Romney will pull it off, and I think he walks away the winner. Now, Newt may take Georgia, but he represented them when he was in the House of Representatives, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him take Georgia. But the rest of them may certainly may go to Mitt Romney, and if they don't, then we're no different than we are right now today. And if for some reason Santorum pulls off Ohio, that is really problematic for the Romney campaign. Hugely significant. Even more significant, as I said last Wednesday with Stephen Henderson, than him not winning Michigan handily, which he did not do. 888-552-3595. A quick break here. We will come back and do a whole lot more here on First Shift. Feel free to join us. Again, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. No accidents out there right now across the area. That's a good thing. But we do have some slow traffic. 94 westbound between Kanju and Gratiot. That's backed up, as is 696 westbound between Mound and Woodward. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today: cloudy, but the sun is going to come out eventually today. A high around 48. Some breezy winds out of the south as well. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 40. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high in the upper 50s, but the winds will remain. Right now, it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Thousands of people rallied Monday at California's State House in Sacramento to support reinvestment in public education. Education in California has been cut by $20 billion in the last 3 years. Monday's rally supported the Millionaires Tax Initiative aimed for the November ballot. California Federation of Teachers President Josh Petchtalt says those cuts and the rising costs of education are pricing working families out of higher education.
The Millionaires Tax is part of our effort in the California Federation of Teachers, working with the Courage Campaign, California Calls, and ACE, and more than 50 community groups and unions, to bring more money into the state by putting the responsibility to pay additional taxes on those Californians who have benefited the most over the last 20 years.
Petchtalt is confident the Millionaire's Tax will make it to the ballot, and he says CFT's own polls and others show broad statewide support for taxing millionaires more.
These are four additional separate polls that indicate that the public supports that measure. If it were out there by itself, it would be in the high 60s to 70%. We recently commissioned our own polling, which we will have the results for later this week, but I'm pretty confident that will be the sixth poll that shows that Californians overwhelmingly support this tax.
So who do you think the sleepiest workers are? Jesse Russell has the answer.
Airline pilots are the sleepiest workers, according to a new poll released by the National Sleep Foundation.
23% of the pilots polled said they experienced sleepiness on the job at least once per week. One in five pilots reported they'd made serious errors on the job due to being sleepy. Similarly, 14% of truck drivers said they'd had near misses due to sleepiness on the road. Half of the pilots polled said they have restless sleep the night before they need to work. Pilots also spend more time on the road getting to work than other industries. 37% of pilots reported that it took longer than 1 hour to commute to work. New rules implemented by the Federal Aviation Administration in December requires pilots to get 10 hours of rest between shifts. The requirements also call for shorter work shifts.
According to data analyzed by the Roosevelt Institute's Mike Kongsel, 93% of the income gains in the first year of the recovery were captured by the top 1%. The bottom 99% gained $80 in 2010, while the top 1% gained more than $100,000. This newscast made possible in part by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Hope everybody's having a good Tuesday morning. Commute should be easy. Weather is warming up. Listening to that weather forecast, although a little windy, highs in the upper 40s, highs in the upper 50s. That's the way we like to hear it, is it not? It truly is. 10 states voting today, 437 delegates. The question is, and what the pundits are talking about this morning, is what does victory look like for Mitt Romney? How many delegates does he have to get? Is under 200? What's the threshold? And you know, we'll see how that all plays out as we work our way through the day today. And, of course, this will be a much more prudent conversation to have tomorrow morning. But at some point, it looks like some Republicans are beginning to line up behind Mitt Romney. The question we still need to ask ourselves, are they doing it holding their nose? And I just get the impression the Republican Party is just really unhappy, and it goes back to my analogy last week of the Bob Dole presidency or candidacy for the presidency. If that's the way it goes, then congratulations, President Barack Obama. You've got a really easy second term coming, but I am not conceding to that. I'll be honest with you, we're going to fight as hard as we possibly can to make sure that that happens. But, you know, as this primary season has gone on, NBC Wall Street Journal did a poll and asked voters about the primary season, asked Republican voters about the primary season. They don't really care about Democrats at this point, nor should they. And the question, amongst the questions that they asked them, is do you believe that the primary season is taking a toll on the GOP? And not only did a majority of people say yes, but many of them said that it's taking a corrosive toll, which is not a nice adjective, folks. We don't want things to be corrosive, do we? We don't want them to look like someone's thrown acid on the process and it's shivering away to nothing, just absolutely melt. I'm melting. And that's what the Republican Party is doing to some degree because they just can't get behind any one of the candidates. I wonder if there's anybody that's not in the race. Here's the question. Jeff, if there's anybody that's jumped out of the race that you would like to see back in it, who would it be?
No one.
Oh, come on. I mean, weren't you having fun with some of them? Rick Perry, Herman Cain?
No, that's the thing. You've had fun with them and you're tired and done.
Like, oh, okay.
There's people that haven't got yet into it that would be fun to see jump in and cause chaos.
Who?
Well, I mean, Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, Sarah Palin.
No, none of those people are serious.
This whole process at this point isn't serious. It's going to be Mitt Romney at the end of it, but you know, until then, have some fun throwing people in.
Yeah, I just don't like having fun with my politics. Politics is pretty serious stuff, right? I mean, we can agree on that. I mean, I think that across the spectrum, I don't care what political party you belong to, it should be fairly serious stuff. And maybe that's the problem, is we didn't take Romney seriously enough. And this is going to sound really nitpicky, but, and again, I follow politics. It's what I do for a living. It's something I have passion for. I have an issue with the way Mitt Romney presents himself or tries to present himself as just a regular guy, because he wears blue jeans all the time. And in fact, they call him his grandpa jeans, and I don't know why. And I'm going to leave it there. I just don't know why. It doesn't matter why. But I wonder, you know, why he always is looking so casual, and it makes me uncomfortable. It really does. As a candidate, I just can't, you know, kind of relate to him at all. And then, you know, I don't take him seriously. Rick Santorum is just a nut job, because I've known about him for years. So there's nothing new in that candidacy for me, that he's still in this thing. Anybody that looks and takes their politics seriously, as I just suggested we need to, can't look at Rick Santorum, if you know Rick Santorum, and take that guy seriously at all, because he is just a right-wing whack job. Now, Ron Paul has his own problems, and, you know, the Ayn Rand-loving people that follow him, just, you know, again, they're their own special people that, you know, wear special straight jackets and really are very odd. And then who's that other guy? Oh, that's right. Newt Gingrich is still in this thing. Isn't it odd, Jeff, how he is just kind of, you know, with the exception of that audio we were listening to this morning where he talks about the elite media. The elite media doesn't talk about fuel prices. They want to talk about Rush Limbaugh. The elite media decides what we talk about on a daily basis. It's the elite media. And
well, every time he mentions that, he gets noticed, and that's all he's all about. I mean, every time he brings up any kind of issue that he thinks is important or his view on it, he's getting ignored, because Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum are the front runners. He throws out elite media, though, and suddenly the conservative base is like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, Newt's still around. So he's just going to keep throwing that out every so often.
The elite media. It would be different if, A, it were elite, and B, it were liberal, which it's not. And I know the people on the right don't agree with me on that, so I don't need to have that discussion. And please don't send me emails enumerating all these examples of how the media is liberal, because I can easily refute everything you're going to send me, so don't do it. And this actually, I need to scold the Republicans that listen to this show. I need to scold them. Have one of you had an original thought in the last year? I'm going to use as an example the Rush Limbaugh thing, but it really applies to any issue that we talk about on the show that you don't agree with. Not one of you ever come to the table with an original thought. You're always comparing it and using a Republican talking point that you heard on Fox News or on Rush Limbaugh's show or wherever you get your information. That cyberspace news that Rush Limbaugh talked about, which is, you know, was founded by a right-wing wacko. And I just wonder, you know, I'm asking, you know, again, the Republicans that listen to the show, have you had an original thought in the last year? Because I you know, it occurred to me yesterday, and then it was kind of reinforced this morning as I was looking at something, and I'm reading the comments after this story that's just a very average story, that the Republicans just don't have original thought. They never bring their own point of view. And every time they have an opinion, it's a Fox talking point or something that Greta Van Susteren said or Sean Hannity said. And I find that fascinating. Folks, it's okay to have your own opinions. So I'm giving you permission. Like you needed it from me, right? But I'm giving you permission to have original thought. Which is, by the way, different from original sin. I just want to make sure we clarify that. But go ahead and have original thought. It's okay. You might find it's quite freeing, original thought. I try to practice it at least once a day, if not more often. 888-552-3595. Marty in Westland joins us now. Good morning, Marty. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks.
I just
just wanted to say, you know, I'm one of those guys that are holding my nose at Romney. I'm a registered Republican voter, unfortunately, but, you know, we seem to have what we have with the four candidates, and honestly, I don't like any of the four, or I don't like the current person running the country at the moment, so it kind of leaves me in a harsh situation, but I would say I will back to the bone, do whatever I got to do, spend endless hours working for that candidate, whoever one of those four will be, to hopefully take the nomination.
And although I may, Marty, profoundly disagree with you, I respect what you just said, because it's tough. It's really tough to really go out there and campaign for somebody you don't wholeheartedly believe in. But I respect right. that you. I respect your loyalty to your values, to your political ideology, that you're willing to do that. I respect that. I absolutely respect that, Marty. I truly do.
Well, it's tough. I mean, when I watch the game these people play, Democrats and Republicans, to put our country in the debt and not address the debt, to keep put us more and more and more in debt as I educate myself more. It's funny. It's like the Republicans blame President Obama for raising the debt ceiling, okay? But the debt ceiling went to the Congress. The Congress passed the debt ceiling, which is a Republican majority, and then they blame the president for doing it. It's those kind of shenanigans that really annoy me and get me pissed off.
You know, Marty, let me ask you this question that I just asked Jeff. Is there either a man or a woman not in this race as a Republican that you think would have been a better candidate?
I mean, it's hard to say. I like Marco Rubio a lot. I like Rand Paul. Rand Paul seems to have a lot better grip on how to address conservatives and stuff than his dad. I don't think his dad's a Fruit Loop, though. I think I could talk pretty bad stuff about Romney. I could talk pretty much about Santorum or even Newt Gingrich, but Ron Paul's just Ron Paul.
You're right. No, I mean, what you see is what you get with him.
Ideology on constitutional law, pretty much.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I talked about this, and I don't know if you heard me talk about this in the late 70s, early 80s. The Democrats had the same situation where the party was in transition. They had Jimmy Carter, who they weren't in love with. They had Ted Kennedy, who they really couldn't get behind for a lot of reasons, some of them quite obvious. And so it was a party without leadership for a period of time. And I really see that's where the Republicans are right now. And so part of me, my heart goes out to you. Marty, thank you for an intelligent discussion. And, oh, my God, let me point out to everybody that a conservative Republican and a liberal Democrat just had a conversation without screaming at each other. Yes, it's possible. Occupy Detroit when we continue. Stay with us.
Tony,
I'm in this race because I care about Americans. I'm not concerned about the very poor. We have a safety net there. You can choose where to focus. You can focus on the rich. That's not my focus. You can focus on the very poor. It's not my focus.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi,
I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff sent me a list of tweets in response to Rick Santorum's three victories last night. My favorite one is the very first one from Philip Klein. All these people are Republican strategists or tied to the Republican Party in some way. Philip Klein says, breaking, Ann Romney tells Heckler, my husband can't blanking throw the ball and catch it at the same time. I actually laughed out loud, Jeff, when I read that one.
Me too.
That was actually very funny.
First Shift with Tony Trivana on 1310 WDT.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And we are in wait of our Occupy guest. So when he arrives, we will bring him to you. And in the meantime, I want to turn my attention to some other stuff that I have in front of me. A couple stories very quickly. I have not that I ever had any real respect for Donald Trump. I certainly respect him as a businessman. There's no question he's been a very successful, certainly took his father's fortune and was able to parlay it into a larger fortune. So I'll give him credit for that. Even in some of the more difficult business dealings that he's had, he's been able to come out smelling pretty good. But honestly, this guy's ego keeps getting in the way of everything. And then he calls George Will, who I don't agree with on my best day, don't agree with George Will, but he calls him an overrated tool. Or I'm sorry, fool. I'm not tool. there's a slip for you. An overrated fool. Just wrong. This is the quote exactly. I think, and speaking of George Will, Donald Trump says, I think he's totally overrated fool. I think the guy is so overrated. I don't think he's really smart. He looks smart with the little glasses and the hair swept to the side, Trump said on Fox and Friends. Continuing on with the quote, that was one of the dumbest comments. I think he's totally overrated pundit because he looks smart because of the little glasses. I see that's the problem, Jeff. I didn't buy small enough glasses.
Well, they have a picture of them side by side, and really, they look a lot alike. Without glasses, is a major difference. Other than that, they look a lot alike to me.
Now, this is what Will wrote. George Will wrote, we would come to a point when conservatives turn their energies to a goal much more attainable than electing Romney or Santorum president. It is the goal of retaining control of the House and winning control of the Senate. And basically what George Will was saying is that the Republicans probably will not win the White House. That's what he's saying. And that if they're going to put their energies into something that's a little more attainable for them, that might be either winning, keeping control of the House, which is very doable for the Republicans, or a much taller task, but certainly could happen, and which scares the hell out of me, getting the majority in the Senate. I would pray that doesn't happen, but it could. You know, again, we take nothing for granted, and even though people are sitting back and saying the president's up, Jeff, so many points here, or Jeff, they're up so many points there, you know, that's way too early in the game to say the president's got anything in the bag. He's got to work for this. There's no, you know, this is no, hey, you know, Mitt Romney's stupid, and there's no way the country would vote for Rick Santorum. We assume nothing. You know, once they decide on a candidate, you will see the Republicans fall in line. It might not happen quickly, but it will eventually happen. And trust me, they're going to want to defeat Barack Obama. That's going to be one of their goals, Jeff. And people should not take that lightly.
Well, they'll fall in line, but I just don't see them getting excited about it. And when they're not excited, then I don't see it being a strong race. I mean, again, yeah, they want to defeat Barack Obama, sure. But do they think that there's a real good possibility? I don't think that they do. They might say it, but think about who they threw out there. I mean, Ron Paul's been running for a while. Mitt Romney quit his job so he could run full-time as president. And the real serious candidates, or the candidates that a lot of people give a lot of credit to, are staying out because they don't want the loss attached to them. You know, they're probably, you're going to see a lot of them get in the next race when there's a good chance, you know, that there's no incumbent, so there's a good chance to have a clean slate, but they're not getting in this one. They don't want to have a loss attached to them.
Yeah, it's, it'll be interesting to see how this works out. Now, tomorrow morning, of course, we'll have all the results of the Super Tuesday, and we'll break it down for you. One of the nice things about doing a morning show, and I'm going to be completely honest with you, all the networks do all of our homework for us. All we have to do is wake up and collect the data and report it to you. So I want to thank the networks in advance for all the hard work they will do for me this evening. It allows me to get to bed at a decent hour and wake up, and all of it will be printable in about 3 different articles if it takes that many. So thank you. Thank you. All right. Here's Jeff, I'm going to throw this question out to you because I found this story fascinating, and it's not the turkey story. Which was interesting in and of itself, the angry turkey yesterday. When was the last time you went to the movies?
A couple months.
Okay, did you buy popcorn, pop, candy, anything like that?
Sure did.
And how much did that cost you?
Well, a lot.
A lot of money. There's a guy by the name of Joshua Thompson who loves going to the movies, loves going, but is sick and tired of paying that exorbitant fee for all that stuff. So he is, he's filed a class action lawsuit against the AMC theater chain here in Michigan, for the exorbitant cost of enjoying a movie. Class action lawsuit. He says it's just too expensive. And I don't disagree with him.
Yeah, but I think about the ramifications if he wins.
What are the ramifications?
Suddenly you could sue Comerica Park because the beer's too expensive?
Sure, why not?
That's crazy.
Okay, well, listen, at the end of the day, you don't have to buy this stuff, right? I mean, that's...
Right, he doesn't have to go.
I get that. According to the article, there's a woman that said that she's an office manager. She spends $5 on the movie because she went to a matinee. And $11 each for soft drinks and popcorn. So it cost her $16 to go. Now, here's the deal. My wife and I go to the movies a lot. 2, sometimes 3, sometimes 4 times a month. We enjoy going to the movies. We enjoy going and getting popcorn, and we get a soda, and the movie, of course. And we don't go to a matinee. It costs $50 for us, the two of us, so $25 each to do that. Now, you know, if I were to take her out to dinner, it wouldn't cost $50. I mean, I could take her to a nice dinner, and it wouldn't cost $50. And so I agree that it's a little bit out of control. But, you know, again, it's what the market will bear, right? I mean, that's one way to look at it.
I would think if you're a struggling movie theater, that would be the one thing you could do. You say, hey, look, we got the cheapest prices, you know, cheaper prices than any other movie theater, and then that would be how it goes. I wonder if there's the way to win this lawsuit would be if you could prove that movie theaters have all somehow gotten together and said, look, don't go lower than this.
Well, I do know that some people are now smuggling, and I noticed that the last 2 times we were at the movies, the ushers have made a concerted effort both before the show starts and once the show starts to come in with their little flashlights and just kind of check out what's going on in the theater. And I'd never noticed that before. That's interesting. We'll see where this one plays out. We're going to keep our eye on this story. Chris Mihalakis after the top of the hour. CNN headline news coming up. Traffic and weather. All that good stuff that comes with being part of the First Shift family. Let's take the break and we'll continue here on 1310 WDTW right after this.
Hey, hey, said I need dollar, what I need. And if I share with
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got some slow traffic out there on I-696 westbound between Mound and Woodward. Southbound 75 between 696 down through the Davison. You'll find delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, cloudy, but the sun will come out, a high around 48. Some breezy winds out of the south as well. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 40. And then tomorrow, partly sunny. The winds from the southwest will usher in some warmer temperatures, and that means highs in the upper 50s to around 60. Right now it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, what happens today could go a long way in deciding which Republican will run against President Obama this fall. 10 states will be voting. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live from a cafe in downtown Columbus, Ohio. Good morning, Bob.
Well, Bill, the polls are open here. 66 delegates at stake in Ohio. A week ago, Rick Santorum had a substantial lead over Mitt Romney in most Ohio polls. Romney and the super PAC supporting him have cut into Santorum's lead with repeated critical ads. Santorum acknowledged as much Monday in Westerville, Ohio, a suburb of Columbus.
But this race isn't going to be won or lost in the fall on money. This race is going to be won or lost on someone who can capture the imagination of the American people.
Ohio's still considered a toss-up, and even a second-place finish could be almost as good as a win for Santorum as it was a week ago in Michigan. Bill?
Senator John McCain says it's time for the United States to step up and do something about the violence in Syria.
What the United States can do for a change is lead.
He's calling for air attacks on Syrian forces. McCain says air power is the only realistic way to protect the Syrian people. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will meet with members of Congress today to talk about the threat of a nuclear-armed Iran. Netanyahu had a similar discussion with President Obama Monday. Netanyahu says he won't let his people live in fear of annihilation. Gas prices are lower for the first time in almost a month. CNN's Greg Black has the good news.
Well, maybe good news is stretching it just a bit. It's true that prices are down today, but AAA says the decline was only 3/10 of a penny. Still, it is a decline, the first we've seen in the past 27 days.
It could be a rough open to the day on Wall Street. Stock futures are down sharply because of concerns about the economies in China and Europe. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, by making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get all the service you need and save money on gas. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver Package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See our participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 3/31/12. Claim based on EPA averages.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get 2 free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2829. That's 1-800-644-2829.
More airlines are dealing with the unintended consequence of fees for checked baggage. Delta and United now join other carriers increasing the sizes of their overhead bins. Seeing the trend, Boeing is now building new passenger jets with bigger storage bins in the cabins. as people tried to save money by carrying on everything they're allowed to carry on. Thousands of entrepreneurs are designing and building accessories for the new Apple iPad, which is widely predicted to be unveiled tomorrow, but they haven't even seen it yet. The legendary secrecy surrounding the unveiling means even those who will support iPad with accessories can't get a sneak peek. The device most in the blogosphere think will be called the iPad HD will have several changes versus the older versions. With no scheduled U.S. economic reports today, Wall Street is moving in large part at the whim of overseas markets, which are way down following fresh Chinese economic worry. S&P futures right now losing 10 points, NASDAQ futures down 19. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This year, 71,000 women will die from lung cancer. That's almost 80% more than will die from breast cancer. And more than will die from breast, uterine, and ovarian cancer combined. Lung cancer diagnoses among women are up sixfold in 30 years. For women touched by lung cancer, it's easy to feel alone. No sports teams in pink cleats. No iconic ribbons on politicians' lapels. No telethons, benefit concerts, or bracelets. No nationwide survivor walks. Lung cancer is a painful, lonely journey. Let's show our mothers, sisters, daughters, friends that they are not alone. We turn the tide on breast cancer. We can do it for lung cancer, too. Go to womenandlungcancer.org to help. That's womenandlungcancer.org. That's womenandlungcancer.org. Spread the word. Join the fight.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45. Go to meeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Nerlman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerlman. Call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. We're doing the interview off air. We got to do this stuff on air. It's interesting. It's fascinating. It's fun, and it's back. We're back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday program. Chris Mihalakis is here, the president of the Metro AFL-CIO. We're in the process of redoing his intro, so we're just gonna welcome him to the show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and Chris, as I was telling you, I had the honor to speak at the U.S. Steelworkers Region 2 Conference in Kalamazoo on Saturday. My wife and I went up there and met Director Michael Bolton, who is just an amazing guy. A lot of Wisconsinites there.
Nice.
With their nice Wisconsin accents. very polite people. But these are, you know, it was amazing that the kind of the melding of the Michigan people and the Wisconsin people. If I ever need anybody to have my back, you know, again, it's just a reminder of how awesome labor is. What a great group of people.
Without a doubt. I was talking to some steelworkers earlier that week, and they were all excited about you coming to speak at their conference.
So. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Kalamazoo is a great city.
It is a great, although we didn't get to do much. We got there later in the afternoon and then we spoke and had, you know, they had a nice dinner, and then I spoke, and then they had this great band afterwards called the Dweebs.
Nice.
And they are Dweebs, but they were very talented Dweebs nonetheless. Hey, listen, they call themselves Dweebs, so it's okay for me to do it.
Did they do a little homage to Rick Snyder?
No, but they did about everything else. They were very, very talented. And then Sunday morning, we spent the night in Kalamazoo. Sunday morning, we got up, and they had a little lounge on the floor that we were on, and I went to get some coffee. And I walked in there, and there were a bunch of our union brothers and sisters standing in there, and I kind of got stuck in there in my PJs talking to these people. I just went in to get a cup of coffee. So, but we really had a wonderful time. And then, of course, you gave me a great gift. You asked me last week if I would keynote your convention in November.
That's right.
November 17th, if I recall correctly.
November 17th at UFCW Local 876.
All right. I know where that's at. Yeah. I know where that's at. And in fact, as I mentioned to the audience yesterday, the American Federation of Teachers have asked me to keynote their convention on April 28th. So I'm looking forward to doing that this year as well.
Yeah, you're just getting around to it.
I love what I do. I love what I do, both on air and off air, and it's great. Listen, really major news kind of broke last week, and so I don't want to overreact. It's major news because it's going to be a statewide initiative, which makes it major news, but there's a very concerted effort, a very organized effort. I want everybody to take a deep breath and not get too crazy with the way that this is going, because this is actually good news for everybody. This is a good news story is what it ends up being. If we look at the way we want to talk about this, I'm talking about right to work and a constitutional amendment, which is really what I want people to understand what this is about.
Well, yeah, you know, there's been a lot of threats over the last year to the collective bargaining process. You know, last week, a bunch of graduate students who work and receive a paycheck were told that they're not workers, they're students, which doesn't make any sense. It's pretty sad when Republicans don't even know what a worker is, someone who, you know, gets paid to do work and in exchange for goods and services, as far as I'm concerned, is a worker. But Republicans don't seem to realize that. So that's just one example. Years or months before that, the Republicans said, oh, you know, teachers, you're allowed to bargain about these things, but you can't bargain about these certain topics. You know, they wanted, the Republican Party wanted to insert themselves. They want state government to insert themselves in the collective bargaining process and say, you can talk about these topics at the bargaining table, but the state is going to decide on these topics over here. And it's not just teachers. They threaten to do this for firefighters, for police officers, and even in the private sector. You know, there's employees in the private sector who, you know, Republicans want to meddle with what we are allowed to bargain about and what we're not. Let's not forget this threat of right to work, whether it's a zone or against one particular group or another, is literally the state telling unions and management what you can and cannot bargain about. And so there's all sorts of threats to collective bargaining going on in the Michigan legislature. And so a lot of folks have gotten together, some unions, some not, to say, you know what? Every worker in Michigan has a right to collectively bargain whatever they see fit with management at the bargaining table.
Can I ask you a question? I just want to go to a fundamental idea. Somebody had actually sent me this a couple days ago in an email and said, she said, I want you to know I'm not part of a union, but Tony, you know, please. What had happened was I had asked my audience, you know, if you were to be with me, you know, Saturday and you wanted to give a greeting to the steelworkers, you know, union, you know, what would you like to say? And this lady sends me an email and says, you know, what I really want them to know is that I'm not in a union, but I appreciate what unions have done for what I enjoy. In fact, one of the things that they did, Chris, when I was done speaking, is they gave me a book called From the Folks That Brought You the Weekend. I'm sure you've seen the book.
Yep.
And so that was a nice gift, and I appreciated it. Now, really, most people understand that what happens, what you know, the collective bargaining agreement and what unions have been able to accomplish, everybody gets to participate in that. That's not a uniquely union thing. It's not like, you know, when we have a 40-hour work week, only union people have a 40-hour work week. I mean, it's ridiculous for society to see that, or not see that, they've all benefited, you know, historically from what unions have been able to accomplish. So it's a little, in a way, it's kind of confusing that anybody would go after, especially in a state like Michigan, go after something that would weaken our collective bargaining, or actually just weaken middle class rights.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Tony. I mean, you know, you look at the grocery industry and, you know, UFCW, my union, your union, we represent over 50% of workers in the grocery industry nationwide. All the big standalone chains are unionized, with a couple exceptions, Walmart being the obvious, and they're kind of their own bizarre institution. But, you know, you look at Whole Foods and Costco and Trader Joe's, even though Costco does have union contracts in some markets, but even though they're predominantly non-union, in order to stay competitive, in order to stop their workers from unionizing, and also to try and get the best workers in their industry, they have to pay union-scale wages and benefits. And so, you know, I know people who work at Whole Foods who make this, you know, similar amount of money, maybe not as much as Kroger. You know, they'll get a 401k instead of a pension, but it's enough to, it's a lot more than they would have made in, you know, southern states where you don't have a strong union presence, where, you know, you may have an employer that's, you know, maybe one small employer that's unionized, maybe in a right to work, state, and you have workers not making as much money down there. So the collective bargaining benefits all workers in any given industry. And, you know, as far as what this proposal is going to do, it's going to enshrine into our state constitution the basic right of every worker to collectively bargain. And, you know, we all know, Tony, collective bargaining gives every worker a voice. It gives workers in any shop a voice and the ability to come together and negotiate a fair contract. And, you know, it doesn't say that you have to join a union or you have to collectively bargain. It just protects that right for everybody who wants to. You know, we believe that a workplace should be a democracy, not a dictatorship. And, you know, if the majority of the workers in a shop want to join a union and want to have a contract, they deserve that right. And, you know, without these rights of collective bargaining, these wealthy CEOs who are running for president and running our state government, they can arbitrarily fire people and outsource jobs to countries like China and Mexico, and we want to stop this from happening. And Tony, we're kind of breaking this story a little bit earlier than we're supposed to. You know, there's going to be a press conference later today, but your listeners are getting the scoop first. And if they want to learn more, they can go to protectourjobs.com and get some more information about this campaign.
Right, and we'll be giving them more information as they break the story later on today. There's going to be a petition signing thing going on, and you actually need to sign it. That's not an online petition, but people are actually have to sign petitions because this is a constitutional amendment, so it's got to go to the voters, and it has to be done. You know, there are certain rules to follow. I'm listening to you talk, and I'm reminded actually of a press release I got from the UFCW a couple of weeks ago about the dairy farmers.
Right.
You guys had just organized the dairy farmers, and within a 90-day period of time, you took them from not being in a union, being in a union. And the workers, the comment that kind of sticks out in my mind, and I'm totally paraphrasing here because obviously I wouldn't be able to remember it verbatim, but what they were excited about, they didn't talk about wages, they didn't talk about benefits, they talked about a humane workplace.
Right. Yeah, and you know, in the food processing industry, conditions are tough. I used to be the business agent for the packing houses. I've been inside those packing house floors. And, you know, it's a tough work environment. Now, in our union shops, we made the best of that situation. We made the best of a bad situation. And so we took what is normally a very dangerous job and, you know, ensured the highest safety standards. And not only that, making sure that workers were compensated for the risk that they were putting themselves into, you know, just by being in that environment. I mean, you know, processing food is not a pretty process, and it's a potentially dangerous process, but we've also made it a clean and safe process because of that, because of the influence organized labor has played in the industry.
Well, again, I just, and the reason that I point that out is, you know, so many times, especially the more conservative members of my audience say that, you know, it's just about wages and benefits, and that's not what it's not just ever about wages,
right.
and it's never just about that. And so I want to make sure we put that. Let's take a quick break here. We got a lot more to talk to on the other side. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Again, the newest president of the Metro AFL-CIO, Chris Mihalakis, is my guest. We're working on that, and we will unveil that new intro for him soon enough. And as you all know, Chris will be sitting in for me starting next Wednesday, as I'll be out for a little while after
Beware
I have surgery.
The Ides of March.
Let's take the break and we'll come back.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiani.
And we do have to remember, you know, the straw vote is one thing, but then there's one other thing called delegates. Yeah!
On 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have one accident out there. Southbound 75 at Holbrook. It's on the left shoulder. It's causing some minor Gawker delays in the area. Also looking at some delays on 996 eastbound between Kent Lake Road and Beck Road. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service, starting out cloudy today, but it will become mostly sunny. A high near 48. Tonight mostly clear, a low around 40. And then tomorrow a little bit breezy, but partly sunny and warmer. High in the upper 50s. Right now it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiani, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Tribbiani, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Charlie LaDuff joins us now from Fox 2 News.
You should be angry because, look, criminality or not, you know, I mean, Kwame Kilpatrick, he's not being convicted of anything in federal court, right? But you, at the very minimum, our leadership's been asleep at the wheel for decades. And we went along with it, and all of a sudden, the magic carpet ride stopped, we're broke, we got nothing left, and the leadership never changed. You know, you start to see the nice little deals they're making with the money, why we're running a deficit. There's plenty of money still flowing through here, and they don't understand the times that when the people have nothing, stop the merry-go-round, do it right, and let's get this thing fixed. It's time for normalcy. You know, no BSing like you're part of the people. You are part of the people. One of Bob's chauffeurs, with his pension and his salary and his car and his gas, is making $200,000.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Tribbiani on Twitter. First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Tribbiani.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, is my guest. You know, before we get back to this initiative stuff, and I do want to talk about it some more, a couple things we need to do. Super Tuesday, and you're that's a political right. guy, you're a political animal, so that's going to matter to you. So I want to get your reflection on that real quick.
I'm glad you brought that up, because as I was driving up here, I was like, you know, I want to talk about Super Tuesday a little bit, and I don't know if we'll have time. My thought is this. The whole people are kind of down on Santorum losing Michigan, and the issue isn't that we wanted necessarily Santorum to be the nominee. Someone once told me that years ago in the 70s, they were There was a elect Reagan movement in some primary when he was running against, I don't remember who it was, because, you know, they thought Reagan was the wacko conservative that they want, that was going to be easy to beat. And the lesson was, be careful what you wish for. Anyone that we nominate or that the Republicans nominate, whether it's with Democratic help or not, can turn out to be a dangerous monster because they're going to have an ungodly amount, billions of dollars of corporate money, you know, flooding the airwaves and jamming a consistent stream of lies into their audience. And so, but the big success of, you know, all of this, the reason why as a Democrat I'm excited is because Mitt was supposed to walk away with this. He's the polished candidate. He's been running for 5 years. And he's had to fight his way, spend his own money from his own war chest for every single thing he's gotten. People don't like him. They don't like any of the other choices. You had that caller earlier who put it best. That's, I think, the attitude of a lot of hardcore Republicans. And the fact that we have made, you know, Mitt Romney's going to wrap it up tonight is my prediction. I hope he doesn't. I hope this drags on for a couple more months. I hope we have a brokered Republican convention, but if I were a betting man, I'd put money on Mitt, so, you know, wrapping things up tonight. But the good news is that he had to spend a ton of money against candidates who were on a shoestring budget and who spent next to nothing. He had to spend a lot of his money to get this far.
I do find it interesting. You're right. He's had to spend a ton of money, and we haven't even factored in the PAC money yet. But he's had to spend a lot of his own personal money to do this. Mark Brewer on yesterday's show said that we delayed the coronation. That Tuesday, right. Last Tuesday was supposed to be the coronation. It didn't happen
right
that way. It was kind of funny. Our mutual friend Bruce Felk went to the quote-unquote protest yesterday by the Santorum folks at the Michigan Republican Party headquarters. Three people showed up to the protest. and then they kind of ushered them inside, and basically, I would imagine, so that there was nobody left outside to be protesting. And all that being said, you're right. I mean, what we were hoping to do last week, we did. Even if they split the delegates the way they end up doing, which was 14 to 16 in Romney's favor, 14 going to Santorum, who would have thought that Santorum would end up with 14 delegates coming out of Michigan? So what we attempted to do, we accomplished our goal, so that's great. At the end of the day, though, I think you're right. Super Tuesday will be about Mitt Romney when all is said and done. The national pundits are saying he needs to do better than 200 delegates, win better than 200 delegates, and I can't anticipate that that's not going to happen.
Well, I think he's going to cross the line tonight, but you know, more importantly, Tony, I think that when all is said and done, I hope that whoever the Republican candidate is gets clobbered. But I really hope that the result of this is that Republican rank and file folks, you know, some of the conservatives that listen to the show, start to realize the Republican Party has just gone off the deep end. You know, the Republicans have declared a war on reason in this country. They're declaring a war on science. They're declaring a war on colleges and universities. I mean, this isn't just, you know, they've turned voting and politics into a completely emotional mob rule mentality. And of course, you know, I know that voting is not a rational decision. If there was a rational, if people voted with their economic interests in mind, there'd be a Labor Party and a Communist Party, and that'd be pretty much about it.
Yeah, you're right.
There'd be 400 Republicans in the world and maybe some sort of Democratic Party, like a left of center moderate party. But people don't vote with their economic interests in mind. Voting's become a very emotional thing in this country, but the Republicans have deviated so far from reality, and they've declared this war on reason. Any institution that's not, you know, backing up the interests of the 400 richest Americans is just come under their scorn and under their wrath, and they have to spin this very elaborate web of lies. I mean, you can't just do it with a few press releases. You have to own your own station and make sure that you create a 24-hour echo chamber that no matter where you are, whether you're on the internet or in your car or at home, you have to be fed this steady stream of lies in order to keep this false reality alive and thriving in your head. And I hope, I mean, there's a lot of good, honest, hardworking working Republicans out there, you know, people who value, you know, a lot of important things. I hope that they start to question this method that the Republicans, this approach that they've taken, and really, you know, where are the old George Romneys? You know, George Romney signed into law the law that gave public employees the right to collectively bargain in the state.
That's crazy.
And now Mitt Romney wants to break unions on a national level. I mean, you know, what happened to – it used to be once upon a time that, you know, the Democrats were a very progressive party, and the Republicans were a very centrist, very, you know, rational, like, hey, let's – you know, fiscally responsible but not stupid – party, and that has completely gone away. I mean, you know, all this attack on the Obama health care law, this was straight out of the Heritage Foundation's talking points 10-15 years ago. You know, even the public option was a conservative Republican, you know, 10-15 years ago. That was their plan for health care reform, but Democrats wanted single payer, and that's why nothing changed. So, you know, the Republican Party, the rank and file members really need to talk to their party leadership and really question the values of their party and the direction they're going. You know, let me give you another example, Tony. This whole thing with Rush Limbaugh. You know, you have people defending him saying, well, it's his First Amendment right to say what he said. And no one's questioning that. No one is saying that Rush should be arrested. But we have this perception in this country that, you know, what is immoral should be illegal and vice versa. And so the Republicans think that if I think that what Rush said was immoral, therefore it should be illegal. And this is why we have to separate these two ideas. And this is, you know, it just goes to show how far the Republicans have taken this ideology, and that their own rank and file can't separate these two ideas. They think that anything they don't like should be illegal, and anything they do like should be protected, you know?
Yeah, and what's, I mean, really problematic about that, we got to get to the break, but what's really problematic about that, especially as I dialogue with people off air on the Facebook page, or as I see people in public, or even as I eavesdrop on a conversation here and there in a restaurant, Chris, what's really problematic about all this is people are basing their ideology on Republican talking points that are fed through the Rush Limbaughs and the Foxes right. of this world. And I asked the question this morning to the Republicans, when was the last time you folks had an original thought?
Right.
And that's a legitimate question. I'm not challenging your intelligence. These are smart people. They're just not thinking for themselves.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. Chris Mialakis again is with us. A lot to get to as we work our way through this Tuesday morning program. Again, feel free to join us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. We've got to get to the break. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. A couple of new accidents have just popped up. Southbound 75 after 696, we have an accident in the left shoulder there. Northbound 75 at Rochester Road, an accident in the right shoulder. So expect some minor delays getting around both of those. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, cloudy, but the sun will come out, a high around 48. Some breezy winds out of the south as well. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 40. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high in the upper 50s with some gusty winds out of the south-southwest. Right now, it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
And I welcome Jeremy Moore to the show.
Mostly what I'm going to be testifying to is just that the university, the Board of Regents, recognize us as employees. A majority of graduate student research assistants at Michigan have signed cards indicating that we want a union election. And, that, you know, this is being decided independently of the legislature. And I don't understand why they want to become involved with this process when, you know, as you said earlier on the program, they should be focused on, you know, things that are more important to the state, creating jobs and, you know, fixing real problems instead of trying to get involved with our union election.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Let's come out and say the obvious. Mitt Romney is a doofus.
Yes, Rick Santorum is a bigger doofus and even a dangerous one, for he seems determined to impose a theocracy over us. But that doesn't excuse Romney's ever-escalating doofusness, and it's time to call him on it. There's his incurable elitism, of course, such as trying to connect with Michigan auto workers by bragging that his wife drives a couple of Cadillacs. But I'm referring to Romney's much more troubling dive down the right-wing rabbit hole, where he has embraced the dogma that government does nothing good. In particular, he bizarrely clings to the demonstrably untrue position that the 2008 federal bailout of General Motors and Chrysler was a disaster. He first got lost in this ideological brainstorm when running for president 4 years ago, predicting that if the bailout happened, quote, you can kiss the American automotive industry goodbye. Wow, spectacularly wrong. Both corporations now make good profits. They've paid back the rescue funds. More than 1 million jobs were saved. GM is again the world's largest automaker. The industry is reopening plants and hiring thousands. And Michigan's whole economy has been lifted from near total collapse. Yet MIT is still lost in the mist of laissez-faire land, constantly assailing President Obama for intervening, even though it was George Bush who launched the rescue, and still he insists we'd be better off if this essential, iconic American industry had simply, poof, gone bankrupt. This is Jim Hightower saying, such thinking might be okay if he was applying to run a predatory takeover fund of Wall Street profiteers. But he's not. And it reveals an alarming shallowness about what a government can and must do, and a foolishness about the public responsibility of a president. In other words, a disqualifying doofusness.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, Chris Mialakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, is with me. I haven't made a mistake on that one, so I'm good. I kept on wanting to give him a promotion, but I'm happy to have him where he's at.
Yeah, please.
We got an email during the break that I read to you, and it's the email's actually the whole email is actually the subject heading, so it's not even an email, and it's
Well, that's better than like the 50-page rants you get by .
Yeah, the one guy Don.
Is this what I have to look forward to, by the way,
yeah,
next week?
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, Chris is going to have an email address with it, which is chris@thetonyshow.org. So
right.
People can start using that anytime. You want to start sending him suggestions? Let him suffer the way I do. with misspellings, grammar problems, this is the entire message of the email.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats don't lie or cheat. And how you libs trashed Sarah Palin, Palen. You wanted to comment on that. I'll let you go first.
Well, my thing is this, Tony. Yeah, you know, politicians are human. And in order to be a good politician, you got to have a magnetic personality. You got to be outgoing. And, you know, sometimes that type of behavior is also the type of behavior that encourages activities that some of the members of the public would not find the most tasteful. We're all human. None of us are perfect. And we get that. The difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is that the Republicans run on a platform of piousness and moral superiority. And that's what frustrates me as a voter and as a Democrat. I know I'm not perfect. If there's a member of my party who, you know, has some transgressions, who says some things they don't mean, you know, I expect them to apologize and own up to it. You know, even the clip you played earlier, Don Imus, I don't know that he's a Democrat. But he said some very stupid things, some very offensive things, and he owned up to it, maybe not right away, but at least he did during that segment. Where Rush, you know, every opportunity he gets to address his comments, he just doubles down because the thought of him being wrong just doesn't exist in his head. And that's what we as Democrats and as liberals find so frustrating is that, you know, whenever a Republican gets in trouble for doing something that could be considered immoral, The press loves to jump on it because, and the reason why it's a story is because of this Republican, you know, moral high ground that they like to take. But, you know, when the automatic Republican talking point response is, well, that's how everybody is. Everyone's the same way. Well, yeah, everyone's the same way, but not everyone's so judgmental to begin with.
You know, I want to get this. I'm going to be a little less politically correct. Not that you were being politically correct, but I want to go after Sarah Palin for a moment. I still find her incredibly naive, and I don't find her to be intelligent. She scares me as a commentator, even as a conservative. She scares me because I don't think she understands the fundamentals of conservative politics.
Right.
I listen to her. I've watched her on Fox News. She doesn't get it. As a vice presidential candidate, she was downright scary.
Right.
Scary the way she positioned herself, the way the campaign let her go out the way they did. They didn't completely vet her. It's their fault. Now, listen, does that make what Bill Maher said about her right? Absolutely not. You don't call somebody that ever, a woman that ever. That's very, very, very insulting to a woman. At the same time, all right, we are not taking some moral high ground as libs. We put ourselves out there. We work hard. We know what we're talking about. And I want to go back to this idea. Well, Ed Schultz called Laura Ingraham a slut. Not only did Ed apologize for that, he played the apology on his show yesterday so that Rush Limbaugh would figure out how to do it properly, which I thought was kind of clever. But let's talk about Ed Schultz, my friend Ed Schultz, for just a moment. You can disagree with what Ed says, but it doesn't make it hate speech.
Yeah.
And, Chris, how many times have you heard me on this show, because I know you listen to the show a lot, disagree quite respectfully with somebody that disagrees with me? I don't call them names.
Right.
I don't swear at them. I don't consider them to be imbeciles. We disagree. The only time I get upset is when people laugh at me or don't want to play by the rules, which is just common respect. I mean, I'm just asking for common respect. So this idea that the libs, you know, live in some kind of utopian world where everything we do is right and everything they do is wrong, it's just those are Republican talking points that are conveniently provided by Fox and Rush Limbaugh. So I'll just go back to what I said earlier. When was the last time, as a Republican that are listening, when was the last time you had an original thought?
Yeah. Well, and Tony, you just brought up a good point, too. When people like Ed Schultz or Bill Maher say things that cross the line, and I'm sorry, like, you know, commenting on the personal lives of politicians like that. I mean, there's some things you just don't call a woman. There's some things you don't call. I mean, there's some lines you just don't cross, no matter how much you don't like someone. And you, as a liberal talk show host, are not afraid to call out people on your own side of the aisle when they make gaffes like that. You know, how come Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, well, maybe Bill O'Reilly, did he condemn what Rush Limbaugh said?
You know, I don't know.
But, you know, how come so many people on the right are so quick to back up Rush? I mean, are they afraid of his scorn, or do they actually believe that what he said was moral and justified?
And that's a great question. I mean, certainly a lot of prominent Republicans have condemned him for what he said.
Yeah.
Some of them has kind of fallen a little short, like the presidential candidates.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mitt Romney said that's not the language I would have used.
Right.
Well, what language would you have used?
Yeah, well, I'd like to him to answer that question. Yeah, I really would have liked for him to answer that question. Then they, you know, then of course, when you see patterns, this is the problem that people have with arguing. Conservatives have with arguing with me because I don't just read quote unquote liberal stuff. I go into the conservative blog.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm doing this all day long. And so I understand where there's a trend towards certain talking points, and so I follow that, and then when it ends up on my Facebook page, I know where at least it's coming from, and it's easier for me to, of course, address that. But, you know, part of the problem here is that, you know, everybody wanted to turn this into, yes, but Sandra Fluck did not say who she really was. She wasn't just some co-ed. Doesn't matter for a second who she was.
Mm-hmm.
It's what was said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if she's the ambassador to Spain. You don't talk about her that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who she is. And they couldn't get over that. I'm telling you, every conservative on my Facebook page would not give me that. It didn't matter. No, she's an activist. It doesn't matter if she's an activist.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of conservatives.
Sarah Palin was a governor. She was still stupid.
But, you know, Tony, now you've thrown some insults at Sarah Palin's way. But
those are facts. Those are not insults.
But you're right. But there's a few things that you have not said about her, you know, out of respect to her as a woman.
Absolutely.
And you can have a very strong, you know, express very strong feelings. I mean, what you just said about Sarah Palin, I mean, it's fair to say that, you know, not only do you not like her, but your feelings against her are so strong that you would, you know, you actively worked against her to make sure that she did not become, you know, vice president.
You're right. I did. I've worked very hard to elect the president.
All that being said, there's certain things about her that you just would not say.
Again, I would, you know, this is, the, and again, because we, not that I should have to clarify this, Rush Limbaugh is on 600 stations. I'm on one.
Right.
Okay? He has 20 million listeners. Again, he has more listeners in a 15-minute period than I have in an entire week.
Right.
All right? I get all that. He makes more money in 1 week than I will make in the rest of my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. This isn't about me being jealous of Rush. I'm never going to have what Rush has. I don't want what Rush has. What I want is an open and civil dialogue. What I want is for people to talk truthfully about issues. And what Sandra Fluck did by giving that testimony on that given day wasn't about her wanting more sex, which I loved what Rachel Maddow did, which was remind him, you don't have to take a pill every time you have sex, Rush. Well, he does because we know that he's got the Viagra habit.
Right.
But beyond that, I mean, you know, he doesn't understand. And you just said it. He kept doubling down. And every time he opened his mouth, even yesterday, on his show yesterday, because I went to MediaMatters.org and listened to some of what he had to say, he talking about the advertisers that walk away, how they're the losers, they're going to lose money, they made a lot of money from him, not owning at all. So this apology, quote-unquote, that he gave, he threw that out the window when he started making fun of his advertisers walking away from his show.
Here's what drives me nuts about that. You know, whenever people start to say, you know, Rush is one of those free market advocates, right? And so whenever people, I work in labor, whenever we want to protest working conditions or labor conditions at a company, the Republican response is always, let the market decide. Government shouldn't regulate, let the market decide.
Yes, that is the
response. And so we're not calling for, and so the left isn't saying FCC, take Rush off the air. We're trying to let the market decide. We're going to Rush's advertisers and saying, we don't like where you're spending your money, and we're not going to buy your product as long as you're endorsing what Rush Limbaugh's saying. And so the market is reacting to Rush Limbaugh's comments, and he can't accept that fact. This is his own ideology working against him. I mean, the market is telling Rush, quiet down, you know, tone it down a little bit. You're at a 12. We need you at about a 6.
Yeah. Did you want to, Jeff, did you want to add something to the conversation? Jeff, I know you're there. You wrote it.
No, I'm good.
No, come on. You wrote it. Say it. I mean, you're good. All right. We'll go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Doris in Flint joins us. Doris, it's been a while. How you been?
Yeah, I've been fine. I've been listening to you.
I appreciate
I've been hearing
that.
About what you're doing for your health, and that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you, Doris. I appreciate
it. I want you to
that.
Live forever.
Oh, you know, at least, I don't know, and I don't know, I'm 51 now, so give me till 55, I'll take that.
you'll go longer than that because you have a vibrance for life and we need you.
Thank you.
But I wanted to say, when you're talking, you know, a lot of people talk about money because money becomes like the number one bottom line, but there are many people in the country that isn't the number one bottom line, and that's true with you, that's true with me. We could make more money if we, say, became a hitman, right?
Yeah.
Or if we sold our soul to the devil for things which people do. And so part of making all that money is that you do things that I don't really want on my conscience. And I don't think you do either.
That makes a lot of sense. Doris, we got to get to the break. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
She actually makes a lot of sense. Let's take a quick break. Chris will stay with us a little longer. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Stay with us, please.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Well, I mean, it really wouldn't be surprising if Donald Trump endorses Mitt Romney because they both like firing people and they've both made millions doing it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trubiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony
on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not. Okay.
All right.
All right. So we're ready.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310 WDTW.
All right, welcome back. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We get ready to wrap things up this morning. My guest again, Chris Mihalakis. He is the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. Been in that job since March 1, so it's not even been a full week yet. How are things going?
Well, you know, I was at the office 12 hours yesterday. A lot of work to do, but you know what? We got a great staff there. We have great affiliates, people that are really excited and really want to help out the labor movement. And Sandra Williams, the outgoing president, she left a great legacy. She's still around to help me out and really helping me through a lot of this.
All right. Now, listen, I know you're going to be sitting in for me starting next Wednesday, but yep. I need an interview with her.
Yeah, I've been talking to her, but, you know, she's...
Is she going to do it?
We'll encourage her to.
Oh, come on. Her and I are friends. I thought we were friends. I love her. I just love her.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
But anyway, things are going well. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. So far, so good. You got to come down to the office. I will.
I absolutely will come down to the office. By the way, I met your replacement at the by a telephone on Chris, at the UFCW last week. I got a really great email from a guy who happens to be a UFCW 876 member. And mm-hmm. he says to me, you know, I'm a delegate in Sterling Heights, and I'm a member of the UFCW 876. I really want to get more active. I just don't know who to reach out to. So I happened to be on the phone with Rick Blocker.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, Rick, you know, who should I send him to? And he goes, well, hold on, talk to Chris. I said, well, no. And he said, no, not that Chris. This is the new Chris. So he put him on the phone. Anyway, I hope the two of them have connected. I just kind of gave them emails and
nice.
Hopefully that they connected. I just love it when things work in that way, and so yeah. That's great. We've been talking about a lot of stuff in this hour. I quick thought back to the conservatives. Conservatives, by the way, the conservative media, which is vast, has billions, trillions of dollars, but they have billions upon billions of dollars here in the United States. And it is obvious to me that although Newt Gingrich likes to call the media the elite media, that he just doesn't understand, and he does understand that it's just his game, that there are a lot more conservative media outlets than liberal, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what a moderate media outlet would look like. I guess CNN's kind of moderate. I don't know.
I'd say they're pretty right of center. I mean, NPR, PBS.
Okay. You know, but again, we're not talking about, when we start talking about reach and all that stuff, you know, certainly the money, you know, Rupert Murdoch can write a check for as much money as he needs to write to get whoever he wants to do whatever he wants to do. That's just a fact. And again, if it sounds like I'm jealous, I probably am a little bit, Chris. You know, years ago, when I started doing radio 18 years ago, and when I started doing political talk radio, I had to make a choice, and I could have turned right. I really could have.
You could have turned to the dark side, and you know, it seems to be a never-ending.
There have been times where I thought, how much wealthier would I be? I'm serious. I've thought it. But obviously, for myself, for my family, you know, for my peace of mind, for my soul, I made the right decision and turned left instead of turning right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like they say when you're voting is like driving a car, you know, making that decision is just like driving a car. You hit D, use D to go forward and R to go backwards.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and that's the honest to God truth. Anyway, with regard to the constitutional amendment that we're going to be talking about a lot more as we move forward. So
yeah,
we kind of just wanted to give people a primer this morning. I think we did that.
A little teaser.
And we'll there's the press conference at 1 o'clock this afternoon. I would imagine that the people that I'm in touch with, that you're in touch with, are going to want to get on the show, and we'll get all this information out. So I'm not worried. The good news is in my opinion, this is good news. This is proactive. This is about taking care of all of us, not just some of us. And that's what we need to keep on remembering. But we'll get to, again, this in greater detail as time allows. Now, I have a question for you. I was told that you had asked them to get fart sounds while I was gone. We need to have a conversation. I mean, you do listen to the show, right?
I was joking with Jeff and Anthony, and I said we're going totally lowbrow.
Okay.
You know, I wanna do an homage to the old morning radio show I used to listen to. I probably shouldn't name them.
Nah, go ahead.
Oh, Drew and Mike back in the day,
when they were fun. They're not fun anymore.
I remember the moment when they jumped the shark. They used to do this clip where they would call donut shops in other cities and try to get, you know, they would say whatever the goalie of whoever the Red Wings were playing, they would say that, you know, it was the goalie's last name Blows, like Patrick Waugh Blows.
Right, okay.
Well, one thing they didn't understand is when they did this live at like, you know, 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, and they would call into Denver, like they didn't understand how time zones worked.
Okay.
And so they'd be calling in these donut shops at 4 in the morning. And, you know, the people answering the phone would be like, you know, they'd be like, oh, is, you know, Ed Belfour Blows there? And they would say, it's 4 a.m. The doors are locked. The parking lot's empty. Stop calling us.
No
Leave
one's
us alone.
Here, right.
And they just couldn't. And they would, like, still try to make this into a joke and like, thought that they were so brilliant. But it's like, time zones, guys. You know, you could take
away
this.
And yet you still continued to listen.
That was actually when I stopped listening.
That's when you stopped listening. Yeah. Okay.
And I think I might, this is going to be really funny, I think that's when I started listening to NPR.
No, well, that is really funny. That's really quite a that's really quite a jump. And somebody about a year ago said to me, have you listened to Drew and Mike lately? And I said, no, I haven't listened to
them
in years. I think they are, yeah. I think I'm pretty sure they are. Anyway, they said, do you realize that they're really conservative now? I said, well, I never knew that they were liberal. I mean, they really didn't get into politics a great deal. I mean, you know, but I didn't listen to them regularly. So yeah. I did listen to them, and they are quite conservative in their political views.
The other thing that drove me nuts about them, too, is, like, they would literally sit there drinking their coffee, reading the newspaper next to the microphone, and, like I'm supposed to be entertained by this?
Right,
like,
and yet they make a lot of money doing it. I would love to make the kind of money they make. You know, I keep on talking about how little money I make. I very handsomely paid for what I do, so I'm not complaining at all. I feel like it's a gift. I do feel like it's a gift. Anyway.
So, you know, maybe you need a few fart noises and really bad
You know what?
Calls.
Who knows? Who knows? But I'm going to guess, you know.
It works for Stephanie Miller.
Well, you're right. It does work for her. But everything seems to work for Stephanie Miller, and she is magical.
That's true.
In fact, I got a call yesterday in my office, And some guy says, I understand that you know Stephanie Miller. I said, well, I've met her. I wouldn't say I know her, but yeah, I mean, I met her. She knows who I am. You'd have to remind her who I am because it's like I'm not top of mind for her. But right. Yeah, I guess, why are you asking me this? Well, I was kind of wondering if you could maybe introduce us. I said, you do know she's a lesbian, right? No, she's not a lesbian. Yeah, she really is a lesbian. Well, I thought that was just a routine on her show. Yeah, people don't normally do a gay routine on their show, that they just kind of act like they're gay.
On the liberal side of the spectrum, on the conservative side.
Well, okay. Well, you know, we had that conversation last week about closet homosexuals on the conservative side. And I got no pushback from that, which I thought was fascinating. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. Chris, as always, I appreciate your time. Next week, we're going to do something a little shorter on the phone because you'll be spending a whole lot of time here. And I'm trying not to be out any more than a handful of days. But, again, I got to wait to see how I feel. So I appreciate you stepping up and helping me out.
Well, we will all be praying for a speedy recovery.
I appreciate that. We're going to take off. Anthony and Jeff, thanks so much for everything you do. To this audience, you are amazing. Again, off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. And, as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slower traffic on southbound 75 between 696 and the Davison. Aside from that, we're looking pretty good. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny, though. Some breezy winds out of the south, a high near 48. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 40, and then tomorrow, sunny, a high near 57, but those gusty winds remain. Right now it's overcast and 31 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. @TonyTruppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today. Tweet. If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk.